Joe Rogan Podcast. Check it out.
The Joe Rogan Experience.
Train by day, Joe Rogan Podcast by night. All day.
We're rolling with the Blessed Express. What's up?
My man.
Good to see you, my friend.
Good seeing you.
How's things?
Things are good, you know. How's things with you? I heard like pipes are busting and heat and all
that
kind of stuff.
It was pretty wild out here a week ago. And then it was 80 2 days ago. Doesn't make any sense. A week ago, it was frozen solid. And then a week later, 80 degrees.
Mother Nature, she's cruel at sometimes.
Yeah, but well, Texas gets weather, you know. It's very different than California. California never rains, and basically like once a year you get a little bit of rain and that's it. Here you get thunderstorms and you get lightning and, you know, it gets cold as fuck sometimes. But this was real unusual.
Yeah.
Like once every 120 years or something.
I was tripping out. I was like, when I saw everything happening, and then my agent, because last week we were supposed to come through, and he said, like, it's getting pushed back. And I look at the weather shit. I was like, Texas don't ever get this kind of weather. What the hell is going on? I thought I was wrong. I was like, do I not follow up with the weather in Texas? Like,
dude, it was crazy. The roads, it was 32 degrees and raining. So it's just at the time where it freezes, but not quite. It didn't quite freeze. So, and then it got really cold at night. So all the roads were covered in ice everywhere.
Black ice. And I had a 100 car pile up somewhere over here.
Yeah, that's I think that was near Dallas, right?
That's crazy.
Yeah, so then snow laid on top of the ice and made it even slipperier. It was crazy. Like, no one could get anywhere. It was wild.
Yeah,
so
wild.
We just went to the supermarket, got food, and hunkered down with the family. We got lucky. Our power didn't go out, but our friends' power went out. And so we just hung out in the house for 7 days and just chilled.
I know the hotel that I was at when I first came in, I was just tripping out because, like, I came from L.A. and Hawaii. It's like, we got locked down and stuff. And then I come walking in. It's like, what was it, 12 o'clock? I got into the hotel last night, and people was just raging. They're just partying downstairs at the local bar. I was like, what? I was like, is this real life, you know? And then I talked to the guy at the front desk, and then he was talking to me about the weather, and I was like, yeah, crazy. He was like, yeah, we was full pack. He was like, we was so crazy. We have generators and stuff, so we still had hot water and electricity and all stuff. And then it came to a point where we only allowed people who was staying in the hotel buy food from us, and you only could like order two stuff. They was telling me crazy stuff about that.
Yeah, we had friends that their house went out, so they got a room at the Four Seasons, and they said it was 2 hours for room service.
And yeah. Four Seasons is usually the best ever.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's crazy. I know. And then even like with the rain and stuff off, we was talking about that mushroom stuff. So it was just funny stories.
Yeah, it's they get weather here, but I've never experienced it like that here. I've been coming here since 1999, and apparently all my friends who've lived here for their whole lives, they've never seen anything like it. It was just random that it happened the first year I moved here.
I mean, maybe you bring the thunder. Maybe you're like, Texas, get ready. This is what the hell I'm bringing here.
Listen, as long as they get ready for it. You know, I grew up in the cold. I grew up in Massachusetts. Yeah. So, you know, as long as they have plows and they have salt and they know how to handle it, you could have snow.
Yeah, so this is Joe. It's a day of Joe when this happens. Like, I can simmer down, everybody. Get ready. Let's just go down.
Well, I have a truck that's built for this shit, too. I have a Land Cruiser.
Oh,
like
yeah.
A Toyota 1995 Toyota Land Cruiser. Like an apocalypse vehicle.
Yeah.
With a 40-gallon gas tank and big tires. And
I talk about the two football field bunker underneath your house wherever you live, right?
I need to get that. That's probably my next move. I need to get a ranch in some sort of sustainable environment. It just seems like the more shit gets weird in the world, whether it's COVID or this or, you know, whatever could be next, like you got to have enough food and water so you could stay alive for a while.
Yeah, they said that. What was that? What is that show? There's that show on TV, right? Disaster people, whatever.
Preppers.
Yeah. Apocalypse people, like the doomsday preppers.
Yeah.
That's what they call it. And like what they have, like they say it's like, I think so. The minimum is to have like 1.5 to 2 years worth. I'm like, what the? Whoa.
That's so crazy. Well, they have that dried. I have some dried food for like hunting, like backpacking food, like, you know, like it's freeze dried or dehydrated. I have some of that stuff that's in my house too. So if worst came to worst, we could eat that for a few months.
Yeah, you'd be all right, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you'd be all right. You're like a caveman. You're like a modern day caveman that came from the moon or something. So you'd be fine, Joe. I watch all the stuff you'd be doing. You'd be all right.
Well, there's a lot of deer in my neighborhood, too. I got my eye on those motherfuckers. Like, right now, they're just like cute deer. But if shit gets ugly, they're food.
Yo, Bambi, get over here.
Yeah, there's a lot of them, though. They're all over the place.
You might be helping. You might be helping it out, you know? They might be infestive.
Well, a lot of them froze to death.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, a lot of them froze to death. My friend has a buddy who owns a ranch in South Texas, and they have this animal on there called a Nilgai.
Yeah.
Nilgai is an Asian animal. I think it's from India. It's a huge antelope, like the size of an elk.
Oh,
and
nice.
They found 63 of them frozen to death on his ranch. Holy so far. They're still finding them.
I know. Before you came, I was talking to a security guard and the other boy out there, and there was, like, I was telling him, like, I saw a possum. I saw a video, like, there's a video that goes viral, like, of a possum climbing up the fence, and he froze, like, in Texas somewhere. Like, it froze on the fence. And I was like, holy shit, that's how cold it gets, you know? Like, people don't understand that this possum. And then we was talking about, does the possum live after it's unfrozen? Because they know how to play, you know?
I don't think so. Is this it?
There it is.
Oh, shit. That's crazy. With, like, he's frozen in the middle of climbing the fence covered in icicles.
Yeah.
It looks like he got his leg stuck. You see that? Look at his right leg. See how it's poked through?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he might have got his leg stuck, and then it was too cold to figure out a way to get out of it. Wow, that's dark.
How crazy, though. But does it just, you know, like, they like playing dead, no? No, not at all?
No.
Because we're talking about, like... Dead. He was telling us that, like, there's this study going around with, like, scorpions. Like, they can be frozen, and then, like, a week later, you unfreeze them, and they're alive.
That's the thing with frogs, too, right? Didn't someone on the podcast explain that to us in the past about certain frogs? They freeze to death, and they thaw out, and they're still alive.
I mean, yeah, that could have been David Blaine when he was talking about them in the stomach. But in Florida, all the lizards freeze and fall out of trees, and they come back to life.
Do they?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, in Florida, you got to be careful, because when it gets cold, iguanas will knock you out.
Yeah, they fall out of trees and land. It's like coconuts. It's like every time I'm at the beach, with my boys and stuff, and we go by where the lifeguards, and I'm like, there's coconut trees, and I start sitting down, and then one of them starts telling me, Max, get the hell away from there. I don't want to be the guy that, like, oh, he was hanging out with you when he got hit in the head with a coconut. Yeah,
you know, 150 people die every year from coconuts?
No.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, 150 people
worldwide. How much people does people die from iguanas?
I don't think a lot.
How long do you think a frog can last frozen? Because it's a lot longer than a week.
Really?
What?
Yeah. Really? Frozen solid? Mm-hmm. We should get a frozen frog in here and do an experiment.
It's actually it's called a wood frog, if that helps.
I'm going to say 3 months.
Max?
I'm going to go... And much longer than a week, he said. I'm going to go maybe 8 months.
7 months.
7 months frozen solid.
It says Alaska, they go down to as low as 0 degrees. They're frozen, and then when spring arrives, they thaw out and hop away.
Jesus Christ.
Animals is weird, bro.
Nature finds a way, man.
Yeah, you got to adapt. They've been, like, frogs probably some dinosaurs.
They've been around a long time.
Yeah, so they're like, oh, fuck these guys, you know, even like cockroaches.
Have you ever seen those things called tardigrades? Do you know what a tardigrade is?
I have no idea.
It's this tiny little, they call them something bears too, right? It's a tiny little microscopic animal that looks like an alien, and they can survive in space. They can survive anywhere. So these things, they could go to the moon if they were attached to a rocket.
Water bear.
Yeah, you go. And you see what show Max a photo of them. But they could survive in space.
My God, are you serious? They look like they're from space.
They do. Look at that picture right there. Like, that doesn't even look real. Like, if that was in a Dune movie and it was chasing people. Like, look at its mouth. It's like a
big circle. Like, that looks like the in Avengers.
Yeah.
You know
when
they came down and the thing was flying the ship, that's what it looks like.
That's exactly what it looks like. Look at that fucking thing. That's a real creature.
How big is it?
It's very, very small. Like, I don't even think you could see it.
Oh, my God.
It's microscopic, right? Yeah. But they can survive in space.
How do they find out that they survived in space?
I don't know. So, 0.5 millimeters, so a half a millimeter. So you kind of can see it. You just barely.
Yeah, but you don't
see if you can
crazy looking. They
how are. Does a tardigrade survive in space? So that was the thought that they could like hitch a ride on an asteroid or on you know they could hitch a ride on a. On
no,
a,
that's how they came here. They, we went to the moon. They went. They saw Neil Armstrong's damn shoe. It's like I'm going with this. I'm out of here. This is boring. What the hell is this?
And hitch a ride on his foot.
Yeah, and then yeah. they're just like beep boop boop sending information back up. They're like, yeah, these motherfuckers are stupid.
You know, that's one of the theories of how life came to Earth. Is it's called panspermia. They think that life came to Earth on an asteroid, and that asteroids contained the building blocks like amino acids and stuff, the building blocks of life came from other planets and landed here, and then the process of life began.
That's yeah, insane. I mean,
it's a wild theory.
I mean, what do you believe? You know, I don't it's know. Whatever you believe. So I don't know. That's pretty cool.
Well, you live in Hawaii, which is a really interesting place, right? Because yeah. there's a lot of non-native animals that have been introduced to Hawaii, like pigs
yeah.
and a lot of weird birds and a lot of weird rodents and plants and all kinds of shit.
The weird thing that we think is a wallaby.
I think you guys are wallabies now?
Yeah, how crazy is that, right?
From Australia?
You don't see them, but they're little kangaroos, right? They look like little kangaroos. Yeah, we have wallabies on our... And it's like, how the fuck did you get here? But they're not like crazy. They're not like you're out and you see it. Like they're very mysterious. Like they pop up here and there when people are hiking in the mountains.
Yeah?
But it's like a wallaby, bro. Like how the hell did... I don't know how they traveled there. Maybe they... I mean, Australia's and surfing and whatever, just jump out. It's like, I'm out of here.
I think probably somebody had it as a pet, if I had to guess.
Yeah, I'm sure. You hear of a bunch of illegal pets that people have in Hawaii. It's just mind-blowing, you know? I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I heard stories of people having, like, gorillas and shit.
What?
Bamboos. I'm like, what? How the fuck do you, yeah, how the hell do you have this? I don't know if people bullshit. I never saw them. People could be bullshitting, but I'm like, I'm not going to put it past that. I saw more crazier stuff.
Well, it seems like they would survive in the jungle if they could get out there.
Yeah.
I mean, they just eat plants. There's so much greenery in Hawaii. Yeah, depending on what island, right?
Yeah.
What island did they see a gorilla?
They were saying on the island we live on.
On a wild one?
Yeah. So I was like, but it wasn't a wild one. It was like a pet.
Oh.
A pet person. Somebody kids him a pet. So I might be... Maybe snitching on someone. Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, I think they're trying to limit people's ability to own primates in America. Because, you know, I'm sure you heard about that story about the lady in Connecticut who kept a pet chimpanzee and then it attacked her friend and tore her face off.
No, I did not. Yeah.
Oh, it's a crazy story because this lady kind of had a relationship with this chimp.
Wait. What kind of relationship are we talking about?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, she was sleeping in the bed with this chimp. The chimp drank wine and took Xanax. She was feeding the chimp Xanax. And the lady's friend came over, and the chimp attacked the lady's friend.
Is it a guy?
No, a woman.
Oh, a woman friend.
I think the lady was probably cock-blocking. And the chimp was like, fuck all this, and just tore her apart.
I mean, I shouldn't be laughing, but it's horrible. That's wild. That's wild.
It was a big chimp, too. And
they're smart. Like, what don't you... chimps, like, we come... Like, they say we evolution from those guys. And right? they're like... I know some, like, you see what the scientists are doing with these chimps or gorillas or whatever they do, you know, and like these guys are smart. Like, you can talk to them. They talk back. Some of them know sign language. It's like, why are you trying to mess with that? These guys, have you not seen Planet of the Apes? I'm sure there are like three movies of it. Like, come on, guys, let's relax.
They could. It's like someone in the future could do something like that. Like, take a chimp and genetically engineer it to make it almost as smart as a person or as smart as a person.
I wouldn't be surprised if someone's already doing it.
There it is. He's eating her. Shoot him, screamed the chimp's owner. Yeah, he was a huge chimp, and he tore her face apart. I think he bit her fingers off. Did that woman survive?
Yes.
She was torn apart.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you don't show me the pictures of the lady. Yeah, I have seen them. They're awful.
They're it's terrible. Crazy?
Yeah, because chimps are different than other animals that they know what you like. They know that you need your hands, and they know that you like your balls. They know that you need your feet. Those are one of the things that they attack. They attack your face. They tear your face apart. They pull your eyes out. They bite your fingers off. They tear your dick off, and they tear your feet off.
I know. That's just nuts. It's laughing because I'm just blown away.
It's fucked up.
Yeah.
Because they're smart.
They're super smart. Like fuck, there's fucking movies on this. Like, yeah. And there's people who's doing it, you know? Like, fuck, there's gonna come a time, they're saying, like, you know, like modern warfare and stuff is like true, like Wi-Fi and shit, we're gonna have wars and whatever. And then the next thing is like, I hear robots and shit, but what is it to do with this? You just fucking start breeding crazy silverbacks and chimps and whatever, right. And then you make them, like, I don't know, you make a chip that makes them somewhat human, they can talk and this and that, and you send them off to war.
Put some kind of helmet on them that has some interface, like some computer interface with the chimp's brain, and you have some helmet where they could see what's things like they can see like infrared and night vision and shit.
Yeah.
Elon Musk says his startup Neuralink, fucking, they got us with this goddamn. You got to shut that ad blocker off, son. You got to just give in to the network. Elon Musk says his startup Neuralink has wired up a monkey to play video games using its mind.
Exactly.
See? He's
going to
start.
Already ahead. He's already ahead. He's already ahead. He's already ahead. He's already ahead. You fucking watch Iron Man?
Yeah.
You watch Iron Man? Yeah. Iron Man played both sides too at one point, you know?
Oh.
I fucking, Elon was in the fucking Iron Man, one of them, so I don't know.
Well, he's creating this Neuralink thing.
Yeah, I saw
Iron Man. They're going to put wires into people's brains, and he told me you're going to be able to talk with no words.
To your mind?
He's going to be able to, like, you and I could sit here.
Yeah.
And we're going to have a conversation with no words.
I mean, you can kind of do that with, like, the love of your life sometimes,
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, like, you know each other. Yeah.
That's crazy.
But I think you're going to be able to have, like, full conversations.
But, fucking Elon is a fucking, he's something else.
Yeah.
The man is something. He's probably one of those freaking parasites that jumped on the stuff from, on one of the guys from the moon. They came back and he just evolutionized himself. He just kept growing. He's like, oh, what is this amino acid? What is this? What is this? Oh, take that, chimp's brain.
Definitely the most likely candidate for an alien living amongst us.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Yeah. You see the kind of, like, well, like, what, how you think of that?
Not only that, how does he do, like, multiple different things like that?
Multiple, like,
he's
got
Starlink, so he's creating a whole network of satellites that can give high-speed internet to the whole world.
Yeah.
Then he's got SpaceX. He's flying rockets, and the boosters can come back and land. You could reuse them quickly.
Yeah.
Then he's got Tesla, the fastest, most ridiculously advanced cars that anybody's ever created, ever. And then he's got, like, the Boring Company that builds these tunnels underneath the earth, and you're gonna shoot people from fucking Vegas to Los Angeles
in an hour.
And then he's got Hyperlink, where he's like, he's got so much shit going on,
and then
now
he got, like, kids around that he's trying to show that they don't need to be in school, so they're just fucking doing shit and whatever. And then he got, like, he got all kind of,
well, he's been saying a lot lately that you don't need a college education.
You don't need to. I mean, did he go to college?
I believe he did.
Do they have college on Mars?
he'll start it up there.
I'm gonna try to get you to spill some beans on Elon.
He went to college, but what he's saying is essentially you could have a bachelor's education, a bachelor's degree, and still be a moron.
Yeah,
you know,
no, that's what it is. And just because, I mean, I know some guys that, like, I met some people in my life where they're, like, smart, just book smart, just crazy, but common sense.
Yeah.
Motherfuckers don't know. Like, there's this one kid, like, he was, like, a valedictorian. He has, like, a 4.8 GPA, blah, blah. He gets into a car accident. He bangs, he ends up on top of his neighbor's yard, and he runs away from the car. Not knowing, like, there's your name in the car, there's everything. What the fuck are you doing? What are you doing? Yeah. I'm like, what are you, like, come on, bro. What are you doing?
Some people panic.
Yeah.
And then when you panic, your brain don't work so well.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't that's a thing with fighting, too, right? Like, that's probably why some guys are really good at the gym, where there's no panic. You know each other real well. They spar, they move real good. But then the panic of a fight.
Some lights.
Limits.
Yeah, it's them lights. You know?
Yeah, them lights.
I mean, you hear about it all the time. I'm sure you heard about it 100 million times about this guy's like, oh my God, this guy's a killer in the gym.
Oh, yeah.
He's a freaking killer. And then when you go out there, everybody's looking at you and, like, thought he was a killer. Where the hell did this killer go?
I knew a guy like that in jiu-jitsu. When I was a blue belt, there was this kid who was a black belt, and, man, he was fucking good. But he would panic in tournaments. And it didn't make any sense. Like, you would roll with him, and he would just have his way with people. He was so good, so talented. And my instructor was really high on this guy. I was like, man, I'm telling you, like, if you could just get your head together. Like, and then I was like, what's wrong with his head? And they were like, oh, when he competes, he panics. Uh-huh. I'm like, he's so good.
Yeah.
And it's just jiu-jitsu.
That's crazy.
It's not even getting hit.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, when he would get out there, he couldn't perform, and he would fall apart. He'd get tired real easy.
It was like the... it was like when the pandemic first happened, and then UFC continued to do fights for us. And I was telling everybody, you can find out who the real fighters is right now. Because, like, you know, some people, some real fighters can't, like, you know, some guys, they're showmen and they need that crowd and they need the let's go, yeah. blah, blah, blah. And, like, I told myself, like, this is like an alley street fight now. Like, yes. we fight, no one's there. Yes. You're going to fight the blood, you're going to fight the who is the true blood, the fucking, you know, the guys yeah. that blood sport kind of, or kickboxer where you got, like, the glass on top of your knuckles. This is what it is. Like, you find those guys yeah. right now, you know, and we got to, you know, you see who needs a crowd. Because there are some guys that do need the crowd. Like, when they get wobbled, like, no, don't go in. Or, like, yeah. you know, like, that Rocky thing. Like, let's go, Rocky, you know? you know? Versus the guys, like, fuck your cheerleading ass. I'm going to, like, this is a fight. You know yeah. what I mean? Like, yeah. that's, I always told everybody, I don't care if I'm fighting in front of 100,000 people. I don't care if I'm on the side of, in an alleyway. If Dana White signs me and makes sure that there's a lot of zeros at the end of that contract, and I'm not going to jail after it's all said and done. We can fight in the alleyway. And that's what it was. We, yeah. we was fighting in, well, had some high power sheiks. I mean, when I walked out, it was like 10 sheiks. They're like, one of them was like in a gold freaking thing. I was like, holy shit.
Really?
yeah, the first one with the first fight island I went, like, had like 10 sheiks right there. I was like, oh.
It's wild must being be, over there,
must
right?
Be, must be guys or something.
You know, the amount of money those guys have, it's not really registered. This is the thing. When they talk about, like, Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos are the richest man in the world, like, not probably yeah,
the,
not really.
Yeah, the richest man in the world on paper.
Yeah.
Because there's some guys, you know, let's go look at El Chapo's stuff, you know? Like, where El Chapo? But then that goes, there are guys with the oil, though.
Well, the I
oil
think is, El Chapo was actually on Forbes 500 list at one point in time.
For real?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why he was kind of getting in trouble.
Yeah, of the money they did know, though.
Yeah.
Of the did know.
Well, the people that I know that are that study the cartel, that really understand the cartel, like, that work with the Mexican government, they said there's a lot of guys that are way more prominent, but they keep low key.
Oh yeah, because they don't want to.
Yeah, they don't want to be like Escobar or Pablo Escobar yeah. or any of these guys that become famous. He's yeah. like, that's not what you do. The smart yeah. guys, they stay low key.
Yeah, I know.
And then they run everything from the shadows.
Yeah, that's crazy. But that's what they do. And then they get guys like that. So that's a little bit of their fortune. It's like, okay, let that take the heat while we still doing our work over here, getting whatever we're doing, you know.
But smart. Like these royal families, they don't have to disclose their income.
They don't have to.
So it's not the same thing as being like stockholders in uh-huh. Tesla or whatever it is that makes, you know, on paper Jeff Bezos look very wealthy. These guys don't have to do that.
Yeah.
So according to people that I know and you know,
yeah.
they're like, these motherfuckers are way richer than anybody else.
Oh yeah, they don't give a shit. Yeah. I mean, I was talking to some stories about when Khabib, they went there and they fought the Dustin fight. And then the kids, like, they said, like, they don't care if they're wearing the robes and stuff. They don't care if they're a janitor. You let them do whatever they want to do.
Really?
So, like, they're just, like, running in the cage. Like, I guess I had kids and stuff running in the cage. And they couldn't touch them. They was like, you don't touch these guys. You don't touch them. Something's going to happen to you if you touch them, you know? So I was like, oh, that's pretty insane.
Yeah, well, they run things differently over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I mean, they shut down the fucking whole island for us, so I'm pretty sure it's a lot different over there.
But on the other side of the flip side of it, like, I'm so happy that the UFC did that, because that's how you get international fighters, because there's no other way to get international fighters uh-huh. to put that island together, and I'm so happy that they put together the first fight in Florida, uh-huh. you know, the first event with no audience. I'm yeah. like, I fucking love that they had the balls to do that.
I mean, I do too, you know. Many UFC fighters, you know, they don't add, UFC is all they have, you know. Yeah. They're not really at that point where they're like, oh, I'm going to start branching off and do this and this and this. A lot of them is just like, this is UFC. All I know is fighting. So him giving us the opportunity. And then you got to see a bunch of guys who really are fighters. Like, you know, like, they're fighting like once every 2 weeks now.
Yeah.
And it's like, fuck, yeah, good for you, you know. Yeah. Like, go make your name, get your name out there and this and that. And even with all the heat that UFC was getting, or even Dana, you know, that little FU video was pretty cool to see. You know, when he came out with it.
Yeah, and see, in the beginning they were getting heat, but after a while everybody did it.
Yeah,
they all did it. Bellator did it. They were talking shit.
Yeah.
NFL did it. NBA did it.
Yeah, well, MLB's the UFC, doing it now.
They jumped way ahead of everybody. Yeah. They tested everybody. They did it safe.
I mean, you gotta in sport or even in business, gotta be a guy who's crazy enough to do it at first, you know, like.
Yeah.
Elon Musk, people, he was telling everybody about Tesla, about SpaceX, and they all looked at him like, you're a jackass, you know? He's like, you're a jackass. You can look at this. And then he sold his PayPal. He went bank. He pretty much went broke. He dumped all his money into SpaceX and his store. And then he had to ask his friends, his rich friends, and only a couple of his rich friends like, yeah, you know what? I'll give you this much, you know? And look what happened. You know, you need one crazy guy to do it, and then everything starts to fall in place.
He almost went bust as early as recent as 2018.
Yeah.
2018, he almost sold Tesla to Apple.
What? Oh, I didn't. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, I was reading some article about that. Did you read about that, Jamie?
Well, Apple was trying to buy them. I don't know how close they got, but yeah.
I think they got pretty close. I don't remember what the holdup was. But
I mean, when you got Apple trying to buy something, then you know, I got a fucking great idea. Nope. Thank you for doubling down on me. I'm not stepping to you, Apple. I'm doing this.
If you want to buy me, I know I got something.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to hang in there.
Exactly. Yeah.
When you first started, when the pandemic, first of all, did you get COVID at all?
No. Never. No, I didn't.
Never.
Did you?
No,
didn't.
I've been around a lot of people that got it.
Yeah. I was just smart about it. I was staying home. I fell back in love with playing video games. I was just acting about when you playing video games. I streaming on Facebook gaming now, so I just been home, bro. I've been loving it.
You're a video game fiend.
I love video games, bro. I love Modern Warfare right now. Call of Duty: The Warzone is like the crazy thing right now. And then being who I am and what I do, I get to play with some big time players. So it's fucking exciting, man.
So you get to play with professional gamers?
Some professional gamers. Wow. Yeah, I got this. This is my man named Tommy. I got to. I don't know if you know Nick Merz. Tim the Fat Man. Tim the Tap Man. I got this.
That's
Tim. Tim, I'm sorry. Tim.
That's a clip.
I'm sorry, Tim. Tim the Tap Man. But I got to play some games with some big up guys, and they just trip out like, "Well, you playing with these guys?"
Oh,
and,
wow.
And it's just fun. You know?
How good are you?
I'm all right. They like to gas me. I don't know how good I really am. Like, I like to think I'm pretty good, but they like to gas me up. They're like, "Holy shit, you're probably the best like." Player that plays sports, that celebrity that plays sports that actually play the game. So
as good as you are at fighting, that doesn't surprise me. That doesn't surprise me at all. I would imagine you can get that good at anything you do.
I mean, you guys could put your, you know, just, it's like you, you know, you just got to put your mind to it, I think, you know, and I had a year and so to put my mind to it to a point where my fiance is like threatening me, like, get the fuck out the game. You need to do shit. I'm like, I'm sorry, babe.
Yeah, it can get absorbed. Like, were you doing like 8 hours a day, that kind of shit?
Oh, bro. Like, when it first
is
came.
Is this you?
Yeah.
Yeah, look at this. Look at Max. This game is wild.
This game is so fun.
Oh, my God. It looks fun.
So fun. It's like, they need an anti-cheat, though. Come on, Raven Software. Get your anti-cheat.
Is it cheats?
Yeah, bro. People fucking Jackie Chan's and Bruce Lee's.
There's always a problem with video games and bots, right? Where dudes figure out a way, aiming bots and all kinds of different cheats where they could see through walls.
Yeah.
Is that what they're doing?
Yeah. Wall hacks and, yeah.
So how do they stop something like that? Do they have to just update the code?
There's like the Raven Software, they got to do that. I think it's coding.
Coding?
Yeah, yeah. I know on a console, when you get caught cheating, they can pretty much ban your console from ever going online again, you know, like that kind of stuff. And then, like, that's why PC gaming is super hard with it. But I saw, like, what is that? Counter-Strike. I saw Counter-Strike. They got the funniest game, how to catch cheaters. Like, you go around a corner, you start shooting, like, you start dropping all your weapons and stuff. It's so funny. It's like, oh, my God. Like, Call of Duty needs some of that.
So, explain what happens. You go around, like, the person who's cheating, they start dropping their weapons?
Yeah, so, like, there's a place in the map in Counter-Strike that it said. I was just looking up, like, how the software's work, that's why.
Uh-huh.
And I think so, it was Counter-Strike, but there's a place in the map where he go around the corner, he starts to shoot, and your weapons just get thrown out, like you're throwing your weapon down, or it keeps have to reload, like it just keeps, like, doing that animation where it just fucks with you in the game.
So, oh, so that's only for cheaters? So
for cheaters, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like, they have it set up so that if you are a cheater and you get to this spot in the map,
they see the software. It's so cool. I was like, I mean, Call of Duty needs that. Imagine getting in a gunfight and you freaking just drop your weapons. It'd be so funny.
Well, Counter-Strike, correct me if I'm wrong, it started with Half-Life, right?
Yep.
Half-Life is a wild game. You ever play Half-Life?
No, I have never.
Half-Life is a cool the game is cool. It's about some scientists that are doing this experiment and they open up a portal to another dimension. It's an old game. Like, mm-hmm. What year was that?
2000? Half-Life 3, they've been asking to come out for almost 20 years now. So, like, it's an old...
Really?
Oh, shit.
I think so, because I remember getting Half-Life 2 when I was in college, which was, like, 2004 or 5. Mm. And Half-Life 3 has not come out yet, so...
Well, wow. I remember a lot of... When I was playing Quake, a lot of guys went over and started playing Counter-Strike, which is the multiplayer version of Half-Life. So it doesn't have all the monsters and the different dimensions and stuff, but it has all the conventional weapons. Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. Quake is like a different game. It's like
yeah, you much played Quake. You was hard. I remember the first time I came here, you was telling me like, yeah, you had to turn it off or you was going to be like single and stuff.
You know? Well, we set up at the old studio in L.A., Jamie and I and Jeff, we started playing every day.
Yeah.
And we were playing 5 hours a fucking day.
And it became be like, a real hey, babe, today we're going in. We got this person coming in, and it's this last minute. You don't fucking work on Saturdays. No.
There's a network issue. I got to go down there. We were playing so much, but I started getting good again. That's when it gets dangerous.
That's when you get dangerous, because you start winning, and you start kicking ass. And you're like, and then you start, I don't know, the funniest thing about Call of Duty is...
This is Quake. See, this is so much faster paced. It's like some Halo shit, It's so fast-paced. That's the thing about it. It's like it's so adrenaline-fueled that as you're playing this game, your adrenaline just gets so jacked up.
Yeah, it's like Destiny, too.
And I would leave, and like my hands would be shaking. My heart would be racing. I'd be like, what? I feel terrible.
You went to a fucking workout,
But it wasn't a workout, because after a workout, you feel good. After this game, I would feel like really fucked up. Like, what am I doing with my life? I would feel like that. Like I realize it's an addiction. Like it is really fun, but I just get addicted too easy.
Yeah, I have a super addicting personality. My coach would tell me. So he always told me like, because I don't drink and stuff. I did a little bit, but he always told me like, Max, don't get into drinking. Like, and he's like, I was like, why? I can control myself. He's like, no, motherfucker. You listen here. You're an addict. You're just gonna get something. You're just gonna keep on wanting, just pushing it to the limit, you know. And
that's what you are with fighting.
Yeah,
that's why you got so good at fighting.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah.
You know who told me that? BJ Penn.
Yeah.
Yeah, BJ Penn was telling me once that he was talking to this friend of his, and this friend of his, he's like, "How long you been doing jiu-jitsu?" And he's like, 3 years. I'm trying to get my black belt like you in 3 years, and this and that. And he's like, "Oh man," he goes, "You're really into jiu-jitsu?" And he goes, "No." He goes, "I'm addicted." He goes, "Just like you, BJ." And then BJ said, "Oh shit!" And then I realized, like, I'm a fucking addict.
Yeah.
He goes, "I just got addicted to jiu-jitsu. I got addicted to something good." We were laughing, but he's like, he was just realizing, like, I was addicted.
Yeah,
I'm addicted to jiu-jitsu.
It's his personality. Yeah. And then it's just like I said on the Call of Duty game. The fun thing is there's when you kill them, you can hear them kill comms.
Oh,
so
really?
You hear their opponents that you kill. So the funniest one is like, "You fucking cheater! You're fucking hacker!" He's like, you know, they just start swearing at you. It's so funny. I'm like, and that gets addicting. You know, you like love hearing people talking shit.
Well, you could do that in Quake too, but we would do that sometimes. We would set up microphones and talk to each other, but I kind of like it when you don't hear them.
Yeah?
I'd rather not hear anybody.
No, I love hearing. I love talking shit. At the ending of it, like if you come first place, like and the guy second place, if they stay to the ending stuff, you can kind of talk. There's a little chat time to talk to each other. Oh, people get so salty in it. They get so mad, man. I'm like, I'm here for it.
People get they get very emotional about video games, man.
They're like, one of my friends is like, fans like, "Go back to the lobby. You suck." It's like, "Go back to the lobby.
Go back to the lobby."
So funny. I'm like, bro, people take this way too serious, but it's a good time.
Have you ever fucked with Oculus Rift or any of those virtual reality games?
Actually, talking about it, it's weird. Mm-hmm. Oculus actually is going to send me something. You see Dana White's old ass. He's huffing and puffing his head. He's like, this guy, this is not an ad. I'm really saying this for myself. Yeah. He's all tired. And then I wrote to him, and then Oculus wrote to me after they sent me. They actually wrote to me, and I replied to them, and they said they're gonna send me one. So I'm excited.
They're very good. You can get a good workout in with those boxing games. They're cool too, because when you get hit, you see a flash of light.
Yeah.
Like the stun, you see the boxing glove come at you, and a light flashes. Like you got hit, so you feel like, oh shit, I got hit.
I mean, it's funny watching those videos, you know, the reaction videos of the kids playing the games, and they're like running towards it, and they're running into the screen or they're jumping.
Look at Dana.
Like Dana's tired.
He's huffing and puffing.
Yeah. It's boxing where look, he's so tired.
I don't think he does any cardio.
Yeah.
I think Dana just does like chest and buys.
Yeah. Do 3 rounds. And maybe microdosing something. I don't know.
Microdosing? What? I mean, like testosterone? For sure.
This motherfucker is stacked.
Yeah, he's getting large. But I think all he does is lift weights mostly.
Oh, so yeah?
I don't think he's
into cardio.
I saw
him do pull-ups one. He killed it on his pull-ups. Yeah, he kills his pull-ups,
he's
right?
A strong dude.
He's super strong. Yeah. And he's a boxer, right? Didn't he do
boxing?
Yeah,
he boxed a lot, yeah.
Yeah. We need to get him in the celebrity.
Do you remember when he was supposed to fight Tito Ortiz? Do you remember that?
Yeah, but what happened? Whatever.
I don't know. I don't know what went wrong there.
How do you think would have went?
Dan's a good boxer, man.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
If it's a fight, Tito Ortiz is going to take him down, smash him. Tito's a fucking...
No, it was going to be a boxing match.
Tito's a fucking gorilla.
But did you see... Do you not see...
He's a big guy, Tito.
Do you not... Yeah, Tito is huge. But do you not see, you know, with all these crazy boxing fights and fighting MMA guys fighting? Yeah. Do you not see, what's his name? Frank Mir is fighting an actual champion boxer?
Antonio Tarver, the guy who knocked out Roy Jones Jr. Yeah, he's fighting a beast. Tarver is
this guy got two belts.
Fucking good.
This guy, once I saw him, I was like, bro, I was like, what are we doing? What are we doing? Let the boxers of MMA fight boxers in boxing.
Yeah, Antonio Tarver, Frank Mir to box on Jake Paul, Ben Askren card.
Oh, man.
Frank Mir, he's a gangster. He doesn't give a fuck. He'll fight anybody. I mean, Frank Mir has been around for a long time.
Frank, if you're watching...
Tarver 52.
Take the point deduction, do a Grammy roll into a heel hook, and just crack it one time. You take it.
Yeah, if you wanted to. Yeah, if you wanted to, that's a wrap. All it'll do is leg kick him once.
Yeah, yeah. Take the 1 point, whatever it is. Take the 1 point, and then...
Just hit him with one calf kick. Oh, I didn't know.
Oh, I so forgot. Up. I'm just in this mode, you know?
Or one oblique kick to the knee. Oh, whoops.
It slipped my mind. I'm just fighting. I've been fighting MMA my whole life.
I can't help myself. I elbow in the clinch. I don't mean to. It's just the
one. You just need one. You take the 1 point. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no one wants to fight MMA. That's what's interesting. Like, the only one who ever had the balls to do it was James Toney. He's the only guy that ever stepped in.
And he did it.
Yeah.
And he did it, and I respect the man. But Randy Couture, a G for doing that. Yeah. Just a real low single leg.
Yep.
Tripped him. Boom. Yep.
Yeah. Low single. Got him down. Arm triangled him. I ran into James Toney afterwards, like a week later at the gas station.
Yeah, what happened?
He lived near my house. Oh. I used to run into him all the time.
Yeah, what'd he say?
He's like, hey, what are you going to do?
Hey, he took it. Hey, yeah. You know, like, most guys would be like, oh, you're not standing up with me. But he knew he was getting into a fight, you know?
Well, I think the way James looked at it, it's like, look, his hands are better than anybody that's ever fought in the UFC. All he has to do is land one shot.
That's everybody's. Yeah. That's all they're thinking. All they're thinking of boxers coming over is like, oh, okay, yeah, you can take me down, but if I land that uppercut, when you stepping in or something, you're going to die. Like Derek Lewis, you know?
Yeah.
Like Derek Lewis. Like, look at that. That was
but
scary
Derek
shit.
Lewis is an MMA
yeah,
fighter.
But he knows how to distance yourself and whatever, you know? But T-Bud is a Terrence Crawford. He was a wrestler in Omaha.
Yes.
So
and
that'd
his
be
sons
super
all wrestle, too.
Yeah, yeah. They wrestle right now. It was funny.
T-Bud is so complex.
Yeah,
he can switch stances.
He's a switch fighter.
Just as good from Southpaw as Orthodox. Yeah.
And he got power, so.
If anybody wanted to fight in MMA and fuck
I think it would be
up,
him.
It would be him.
I think it would be him, yeah.
But he's making so much money in boxing. Why would he do that?
Yeah, why? Yeah, why? Did you not just see, like, some of the boxes? Did you see, like, Teofimo Lopez, just what bid they got from Triller? It's just stupid money.
What did he get?
The bid was, like, $6.0 million on the fight that he got coming up.
Really?
Yeah, and he's getting, like, 70 or 60-something percent.
Him.
Yeah, he's
good
getting, like,
$4
million, I think, from it. It's like, that's what's up.
Listen, man, that guy beat the guy who everybody was saying was the best pound-for-pound
fighter.
Was
going to smash him, too.
Lomachenko,
like,
yeah.
You know, like, I was just telling everybody, I think knockout, it's all Lopez, but if it goes to the decision, it's going to be Loma. And then he goes out there and just
beats
does what he does, smashes.
You know what it was? He put him in so much danger.
Yeah.
Teofimo has so much power.
Power.
So much.
You can see, you know, everybody, like, I'm a big stuff fan, you know, what is his name? Matrix. I'm a big fan of him, but at the end of the day, it's like everybody's like, oh, he's so, like he had an injury or something. Like, he had shoulder surgery after, but it's like, come on, man. Like, he know how to win. He's a fighter. He took the fight for a reason, you know? Like,
he had some good moments in the later
rounds. Yeah, just Lopez just had a a great game plan. I think so. Put him in danger where he thought he wasn't going to be in danger. And he did his thing, man.
Lopez is way more powerful. And way more powerful. He's a
Lopez
big guy.
Is like one of the guys that look like for boxing, looks like he's like an MMA guy fighting to cut weight over there in boxing. Mm-hmm. You know, usually boxers walk around their fight weight. You know, they don't cut too much, but Lopez is huge. Every time he steps in there, he looks like 3-4 times size the guy. I'm like, holy shit.
He's big. He's big, muscular, fast as fuck. And he keeps that pace, too.
The
he
whole time. He doesn't the gas out. Yeah, the whole time.
He's dangerous deep into the 12th round.
He gets to knock you out in the 12th round.
Yeah. He won the 12th against Lomachenko.
Yeah.
That was a big part of the fight because Lomachenko was coming on.
He was
coming
on right at like around like the 9th or 8th round, they're saying.
Yeah, but he cemented it in the 12th.
Yeah.
He's a beast. And a young kid, too. He's like 22?
Yeah, 23 or 23? Yeah, 23 or something around that. 23, 24 or around that age. I'm like, bro.
Not even in his prime.
Not even close.
I remember when you were fighting in the UFC, first fight in the UFC. You, what are you, 20?
I was 20. I was 20.
That was wild.
Yeah, it was crazy. That was crazy. That was good fun. That was a good fun time.
Isn't it crazy looking back now? You're a veteran, world champion veteran, and you come back and think about when you were 20 years old, when you first fought in the UFC. It just, time keeps rolling. You keep getting better.
Yeah.
Keep having more experiences.
That's the whole thing, you know? It was funny. I mean, we talked about it last time I was on here. And we just talk about how everybody is like, yeah, this young new contender, this young new lion coming up. I'm like, what the fuck is I'm the youngest guy in the division. I'm 29 years old. Relax.
Is that crazy? That is
crazy.
Yeah,
I remember the Ortega fight was tough. And then even this fight, there was like a new young hungry contender with Qatar. They were saying, but Qatar is the one that was like he actually said the age thing, you know? Yeah. I didn't know Qatar was that old either. But he said the age thing, and then he was like, oh, a freshman and whatever. And I was like, fuck, finally someone calling me some type of freshman or something. Thank you, Qatar.
He said you were a freshman. He's a senior.
Yeah,
right?
That's what he said. He said that's what, it was funny because when I was sitting down, I was like, okay.
That was a crazy fight, man. That was, in my opinion, like one of the most impressive performances I've ever seen in my entire career.
That was my favorite fight of all time,
all
man.
The fights I've ever called, that, I mean, watching fights, you know, seeing fights since I was a kid. There's something about that fight where it seemed like you came into your own in that fight in a way. Like you, first of all, Calvin Kattar, that guy is a super dangerous guy. Super dangerous. Some of the best hands in the sport.
Monster.
And for you to outbox him the way you did and just to put it on him round after round after round. And then in the final round when you're talking shit and you were pointing over to the UFC matchmakers I'm the best boxer in MMA. And he's throwing punches at you and you're moving your head. I was like, Jesus Christ, Max is in the fucking Matrix.
Yeah.
Like there's moments in guys' careers where they reach this new place. You know, and that's what it looked like with you. You just looked like you were in this new place.
I felt great, man. I felt great. And you know, going back to talking about that, like one of my coaches, he told me, he's like, yo, Max, what if, months before this fight, I told you that you're going to set all kind of striking records, not against anybody, against a guy who's supposedly have way better boxing than you, who has better boxing than most of the UFC they're claiming, and you're going to just totally make him look like shit. And I told him, I wouldn't believe you. He's like, well, you just did it. I was like, what? I was like, it was crazy because like, there's a one thing to do it against someone. Like, I'd had these numbers or close to these numbers was with Ortega.
Well, you had three of the top fights with the most strikes landed ever.
Yeah, ever. So,
and then that one, which eclipsed all of them.
Yeah, I know. And then there's like this graph going around after the fight, like with all the UFC fights, all kind of dots of specific strikes, and there's like two dots, like way far from everything. It's like, yeah, those two dots is Max Holloway's. I was like, oh shit, that's pretty cool. You know, when you see that kind of stuff, it's pretty cool. But
it's not just that. You did it in a fight where it was all stand up.
Yeah,
a lot of the fights with significant strikes landed. It's on the ground.
Someone on the ground lying down punching them, and that's what I tell people. I'm like, and everybody's like, oh, somebody did this much significant strikes. I was like, yeah, let me lie on someone and punch them in the face from the top. I'd love to do that, not worrying about getting hit back, you know?
Right.
It's like, this is at distance strikes, you know? I'm just putting myself in danger. It's a 50-50 chance, or I let you like to let them think it's a 50-50 chance they get for hitting me, but I make sure the odds are always on my side.
Well, you showed so much movement in that fight and so many angles and footwork and your understanding of distance. The craziest part about it was you said you didn't spar at all for that fight.
Not at all. Zero.
Tell me about that.
I had the second Volson Nugget fight, the first Fight Island fight, we could not move. Like, people were like, I did my training on Zoom, and people was like, you're fucking lying, and blah, blah, blah.
A lot of people did think you were lying.
I was like, this and that.
I thought you were lying.
Yeah, but I couldn't. Like, I'm not going to try and meet with these coaches, with these guys, and, like, get busted, you know, especially who I am, you know. Like, there was people breaking protocols, and, like, there's, like, Hawaii famous people or famous people that was flying into Hawaii that was breaking the mandate of, like, going around or whatever, you know, the COVID protocols. And they was getting arrested. I was like, fuck, I can't be getting arrested before my fight. This is some crazy shit. So we did that. I didn't spar. I felt great.
Now, when you did that, though, how do you do Zoom workouts? Like, how did you organize that?
I had mats at home, and then we Zoom, and then, like, one of my coaches, we'd get online and do stuff, and I had a bag at home, and I'd hit the bag and stuff, do drills and this and that, and add weights and stuff.
No grappling at all?
No grappling at two-fight week.
No grappling, no pads?
No, nothing until fight week.
Just hitting the bag.
Yeah.
So what did you do for conditioning?
I got to lift weights. I went to a friend's house that had weights and stuff. My strength and conditioning coach's house. He actually have some place that he had a little spot for us in his garage. And that's where I would go. You know, everybody else had, like, kids and stuff, and they was like worried. So I was like, you know, I ain't gonna be mad about everything going on. So we figured out a way.
It's interesting the way people look at COVID then versus the way they look at it now.
It's back then,
everybody thought we were all gonna die. Well, you know, like, everybody was worried, like, a lot of us were gonna die. And now everybody's like, I don't want to get sick.
Yeah,
but that's it.
Yeah. You just don't want to get sick because I heard this is like flu-like symptoms, you know. And it
depends on who it is. Yeah, Dustin had it, and he didn't even know he had it.
Oh, for real?
Dustin, I tested him yesterday. He was here yesterday.
Yeah.
He didn't even know he had it.
Oh, he had it when he came here?
No, he had gotten over it. So he had the antibodies, tested negative, but he had the antibodies. So after his fight with Connor, he got COVID and didn't even know it.
That's crazy.
And then came in here and just found out about it yesterday, that he had the antibodies.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
And they were like, you got the antibodies. You're negative for the disease, but you have the antibodies. He's like, that's crazy. I go, did you even notice it? He goes, no, I never felt it.
That's crazy. That's cool. That's awesome.
His wife felt a little run down.
Yeah.
And he's like, I thought that was jet lag, you know, flying from Abu Dhabi.
Yeah. That flight is not fun.
I don't think the disease would fuck with you. I think it's a real problem with people with that have poor
that
health.
That have outlining health issues.
Yes.
That's what it is. And, yeah. And then people who are really old. Like, you can be really old, but if your system is, like, down, it's like, it's kind of tough, you know?
Here's an example against that, though. Cody Garbrandt. Cody Garbrandt got it, but you know what happened with Cody? He had it, and he kept training hard. So he's training for a fight. So he didn't know he had it. He never got tested. So he's like full camp, 2-3 a days. You know, Cody, he trains like a fucking savage. Man. And so he's breaking his body down. So he just, like, couldn't recover. And he'd look at his watch, like, he had a Whoop strap. And he looked at his Whoop strap, and it was like 1% every day. And he's like, what the fuck is going on? Why am I not recovering? And then finally he goes to do Mike Tyson's show. He did Mike Tyson's hot box, and they tested him there. And that's how he found out he had COVID. So he had COVID for months
crazy
before he got tested.
That's just nuts. This is, I mean,
so he was training with COVID,
and that's how
beating himself up,
because you're beating, like, you can be healthy, like you said, but you're beating yourself down.
Yes,
you're beating yourself down. Your body not recovering it, and he's probably not doing a lot of recovery stuff because he's so, you know what I mean, he's at a point in his age where he's like, I just recover. I just so used to do feeling like this, so why are you gonna do it? You know?
Yeah, it's it's just interesting that you were able to fight and to train a full camp for a guy like Volkanovski, especially a rematch, with no sparring, with no partners, with no nothing.
Yeah, we had a lot of mental training. You know, it was a lot of mental things and
like visualization.
Yeah, like, I got to visualize, or even just think of new ways to move, or I got to think of ways to set up stuff. Like, I just had more time to myself to think about the actual fight and whatever. And then even with the sparring, like, the second fight for the Qatar, we didn't spar, but I moved with my partners. You know, we grappled, or we had stand up. We had ideas of this is how he moves. So I just got used to the movement and we keyed on certain things, and that's it. But was nothing ever like cracking you? You know, like, I would get. I mean, you know how it is. You see all these guys, they say, like, I got hurt sparring. That's how all my injuries came. I got hurt from grappling hard or sparring hard. So if you just take that out, you know, like, you get a 200% of yourself. But it comes a point, like, everybody thinks I'm telling everybody to stop sparring. You know, I'm telling the young kid to stop sparring. I'm not telling the young kid to stop sparring. When I was 16, I had to spar. But it comes a point where you spar enough to the points where everything happens, or even fights, like, I fought injured, I sparred injured, you know, I got hurt, I had to come through stuff. Like, you need these times before the show, because when it comes in the show and you get hurt in a fight or something, you panic. You get buzzed in the fight, you panic. But then if you do it in these sparring or these amateur fights, then it's simple. But when when you get to that certain point, then you stop sparring and you save your brain. Because, like, right now, I'd say at least 85 to 87% or even close to 91% of the UFC fighters, you don't have to. You know, if you didn't come to the contender series, I think you don't have to really spar anymore. You know, like, we're all at a high level already of thinking and doing this. Like, there's other ways that you could do to figure stuff out. You know, and that's just what I think. You know, I'm not telling anybody else to do it.
So, do you guys do a lot of drills with pads? Drills,
yeah. With pads, or even drills on drills, you know, like, mm-hmm. you know, not like, not really Dutch way, but like more towards
like
a fighter. Yeah, towards
come
a fighter.
At you with a punch,
yeah.
And you'll
yeah,
step
yeah,
to the
yeah.
side.
And then
and
we
counter.
Practice it, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'll practice it, you know, like, we look for, whenever I watch tape, we look for consistencies. Guys that they do consistent movements all the time. And we work for those movements. And then we go, we apply, we ask my partner to go. And now it's much more easier to ask someone to replicate this guy for me while we're moving versus to ask someone to replicate somebody when we're sparring hard. Because
right.
I would spar hard with them. They'll
and then
they would
go back to their
yeah,
style.
They'll start getting their ass beat and they'll be like, frick this. I give him a better look when I'm training, when I'm doing myself. So I'm going to go to that. But that's not it. You know,
right.
like, even if you
right.
give me a better look as yourself, I'm trying to get ready for this guy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And a lot of people, that's when ego and stuff come in,
yeah.
and so on. So I think we figured out a way where it worked for me, and you guys got to see, you know, it's like I felt so good. My body, everything was like,
dude,
everything
you were on
was
fire.
Good. Yeah, I felt great.
If you don't understand how good Calvin Kattar is, you don't understand how good your performance is. Cause
yeah, I thought Calvin
Kattar
was, and it takes two. And I tell everybody with this, with the numbers and stuff, you know, like the reason why I didn't hit this numbers against Ortega is because we went only four rounds. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
like Ortega's a different beast too. You know, I think so. The ref said what he said, and that's what happened in that fight. But like, Kattar was crazy because one of the rounds, I think so, like the third or fourth round, I hit him, and he was just gone. Like, I was like, he was gone at the end of the round. I was like, bro, this guy not walking off for the fifth round. There's no way. And motherfucker jumping up and down.
Yeah.
Like it was the first round. I was like, okay then. There's my answer. If you would you feel like getting punched some more, my friend? We're gonna do this.
No, he's tough as fuck, man. Because there were a lot of moments in that fight where he could have quit.
Wait, he could have. And it's crazy because like, you see it. You see him get to that moment. Like I feel it. Like it's right there. And he just throw like a bomb and he lands it on me. I'm like, what? I'm like, come on, man. And then like, I hear everything. I can hear his corner yelling at him and stuff and this and that. I'm like, God damn it, Kattar. I was like, you know, I was like, one time I was like, what was funny was in one time in a fight, like he was just fucking throwing and he somehow landed a left hook or overhand on me and he was on the fence. And I was like, bro, the fight was just about to get finished. Like, come on, Kattar. Just like, come on, just do it. But then, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, it's not my job. You know, I can't focus on what the ref going to do, if his team is going to throw in the towel. I just got to focus on him, you know. And
do you think they should have stopped that fight at any point in time?
I mean, at the end of the day, frick, I'm in Kattar's shoes. Like, me talking as a fighter, no way. I was like, give me a shot. And this guy's, you know, he's a puncher.
Yeah.
He's a puncher. Like, this guy can, like, put someone down, you know? But, you know, it's funny because, like, Teddy Atlas said the same thing. But Teddy Atlas was, like, telling me when I was on his show, he was like, but Max, you never got dropped. So, I don't know. The odds of him knocking you out because he's a puncher, it's still not there. You know, it's still slim. But it is there. But at the end of the day, I can't speak on that, you know? Because as a fighter, I'd be like, frick, you know, leave me in there. You know,
right.
I want to fight, you know? Like, even, like, even my way with even championships, you know, you want to find the best guy, right? And the way I look at it is like, if it's the best, it's not a fight is a fight until it's over, and then it's people's perceptions on the fight. So after the five rounds, then it's a fight, you know. Like, but I thought this was supposed to be the two best guys in the world, you know what I mean? Like, my take on it was like, why don't we just have these fights? Yeah, we have the rounds. We just go into someone wins the fight.
Right.
Instead of we keep this perception out of it. We just keep going round after five rounds. Guess what? We're going to six. Guess what? We're going to seven. We're going to someone quit. That's how you find the best fighter in the world at that way. At
old
whatever
school
it is.
Jack Johnson style.
Why not? You know what? That's the way I think. Because it's just perception. Man. It's just a perception, right? Because
they'll never do that in America, but they might do it in Asia.
Yeah.
Like maybe you could talk ONE FC.
Yeah, ONE might like that. ONE might be doing some wild stuff like that. They see some wild stuff. You see, they signed the. You know, I'm friends with the Lee's family. Yeah. And Christian Lee and Angela Lee, they're both champions over there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
The young sister just fought today. She won. She's 16 years old.
Oh, really?
She's 16. She's a professional fighter.
She fought
she won.
In ONE today? ONE
she
FC?
Fought in ONE FC today. She won.
Who was on the card today?
I have no idea who was on the card. I think so. I had a kickboxing match might be headlining it.
They're doing John Wayne Parr versus Nikki Holtzkin.
Oh, that should be a crazy fight, right?
Crazy. Because they do crazy things over in ONE. They'll have like stand-up fights. They'll have kickboxing rules fights.
With the MMA gloves.
And they'll have Muay Thai with the MMA gloves. Yeah.
Some crazy shit.
Do you think that there's ever going to be an organization that allows you to fight like literally to the end?
I don't know. There comes
How many rounds do you think you could go?
Me?
Yeah.
I go to whatever round until the guy quit. I don't care. I don't care what round it is. Is this... I ain't giving up before you. I know that. You know what I mean? You better clip my ass and my brain better stop me, because as long as I'm conscious, I'm going to the next round and the next round.
What is the most amount of rounds you've ever trained?
I mean, I do, like, I mean, you can talk to people. I mean, some of us, actually, you can't because no one's going to talk about it. But like, I do, like, when we was getting ready for championship fights, like, I did, like, a lot, like, I would go to, like, 12 rounds sometimes. Like, I would spar, and it's 5 minutes, and I would spar, and, like, we'd do, like, we're supposed to do, like, 5 to 6, and I would spar, and I'd be like, nah, I ain't finishing on this fucking round. And then we go to the 7. I was like, nah, still a shitty round. Fuck this. We're going some more. Like, and then I think so the most I did was like around 12 or 13 when I was like, okay, good.
That's more than an hour of sparring. 13 rounds? That's crazy.
I just didn't feel it. I was like, bro, I don't feel it. I'm feeling it. Finally, when I felt it, I was like, okay, I'm good. I'll go home, you know?
People don't understand what that's like, an hour of sprinting.
Yeah.
That's so crazy. It's your cardio is one of your biggest weapons, man.
Yeah, yeah.
You put a pace on people.
Yeah.
Like if you look at the numbers landed in fights, and that fight in particular, like a big part of that fight, the success in that fight, first of all, you have to have the skill to land all those significant strikes. Uh-huh. But it's just the fact that you can land all the significant strikes and not have any breakdown of your technique in the fifth round. There's no, you weren't slower. You weren't, it wasn't more forced or labored. You didn't slow down the pace. It's crazy.
I just felt good. And it's funny you bring that up, because like people always ask me, what is your workout? Like this and that. I always think, I was like, I could tell you guys my workout. I could bring you guys to the workout, but that ain't it. You know, that ain't it. I was talking to Sean, one of your security guys out there. And you have a bunch of Navy SEALs and military people come all the time. And they talk about this place where you got to go where you get pushed to the point of breaking. And then you get pushed past that. You have to going. And that's a very dark place, you know, like Sean or ex-Navy SEALs and stuff. Those guys got to live there, you know what I mean? Now, thankful for me, I have a passport. So I just show my passport. I'm here for a little bit, and then I'm out, you know what I mean? But because those motherfuckers, they crazy, you know what I mean? But my passport is like, yep, stamp me, and stamp my exit sheet, I'm out of here, you know? And that's what it is,
you have a
passport, you know?
To crazy land.
Yeah, and that's what it is. A lot of people think it's a training thing. You know, I have the best strength and conditioning coach. But it's not the training that we do. It's like... it's the mental stuff that he pushed me to. Like, there's so many stuff. I'm going to sound like a baby or a bitch, but I always tell him, I don't want to do this. And he's like, well, guess what? I don't give a shit what you want. You're doing this. And I'm doing it. And I'm like, I'm dead tired. I'm dying and this and that and on our workouts. But he always pushed me past that limit. And it's every camp. Like, every camp, I'm like, yeah, going into camp, just feeling like the man. Like, fuck yeah, he's not going to break me in this one. And he somehow finds me. You know, he finds it. And then you question yourself, like, oh, Max, do you want to do this or not? And then you go to that limit, you know. Everybody think it's my cardio is a training thing or this and that. But it's more of a mental thing, you know. It's more of a mental thing that plays that that passport come in handy at certain times, you know. And when I can check out, I'm happy that I can check out.
So when you've been able to go into that dark place so many times during training, does it get any easier?
I mean, I wouldn't say get easier, but
more used to
But you get there, yeah. You get used to it, you know. And it's just different. I mean, it's just you can ask my fiance. You know, she's the best. You know, shout out to her, Alyssa. I love you. You know, thank you for everything. But she's the one that pulls up with most of my shit, man. Like there's Facebook gaming Max Holloway. There's fighting Max Holloway. There's training camp Max Holloway. There's the daddest man on the planet, Max Holloway. You know, there's all these things, and my fiance, man, she does everything for me. I love her, and she gets the shit in of stuff. Like when I'm in training camp, like I'm a prick. Like I'm just in, like, you know, like the passport is stamped during that 8 weeks. You know what I mean? Right. So like at 8 weeks at a time, I'm this guy that you got to go there. But I would say it gets easier because I understand what I need to do and I understand time. You know what I mean? Time is so important to me. Not that much people understand what time is. You know what I mean? Like I'm taking away time from my coaches and their family. They have kids. They can be great parents. They have a gym to run. They can do all this, but they make special time for me to train. You know, like my strength and conditioning coach, a lot of the times he pretty much closes the gym for me to train. Like maybe I might have one or two people with me, but it's like he's not even focusing on them. He's always focused on me. You know, it's like I respect these people's time. And that's what it is. Even my fiance's time, you know, I'm all about time. Like a lot of people think, so like, Max, you're at this level, you deserve that, or I get to this, you deserve this, or I'm this here, so you should be acting this certain way to me. I never ever was like that. I always thought, like, you motherfuckers, like, I can never get back. Like, Joe, if I ask you, I know you signed that big Spotify deal, I was like, hey, I want $100 million. You know what I mean? I can potentially give you $100 million back. But then now I'm taking up your time, and we're sitting now, we're talking for 3 hours. I can never give you 3 hours back.
Right.
And people don't understand that. They're like, what the fuck? You know, like every time I tell them that, like, oh shit. I'm like, yeah, so if you're hitting me up to train or something, don't waste my fucking time when I'm here. Don't fucking be talking story. Like, right. When we set a time, fucking show up on time. Be ready to go at this time. Not I tell you to here and you over here, you come, you show up on the time and you're rolling out. No, we want to train at this time. I want to train at this time because they got, my coaches got something better to do. I got something better to do. I know I got to fight. Do I want to be training? No, I'd rather be sitting down on top of my fucking good ass chair with my perfect ass posture playing video games. You know what I mean? Like, I'd rather be surfing with my son, watching my son surf. You know, like, you know how much times I miss out on times where, like, even this last fight, I was there for his birthday, but I wasn't, if that makes sense. Like, a lot of people don't understand. Like, I was physically there, but I couldn't eat the cake. I couldn't eat ice cream. I couldn't enjoy people's time because and the whole COVID shit too, you know, it's like we couldn't do a bigger one than what it usually is, you know? So as this, if I could tell anybody thing how to be successful, is like get control of time and get control of your mental. That's how you take you places.
Well, both of them are connected, right? Because if you appreciate time, it's your mind that makes you appreciate time because you appreciate the significance of that time training. And if you think about how much time you spend, like, all 100% fully in and committed as opposed to some people. Like, we all know a guy will say, I worked out an hour and a half today. Yeah. But if you worked out with him, you'd see a lot of fucking around on the phone.
Fucking IG.
You'd see talking to people. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You'd see taking rounds off. There's a lot of that, right?
Yeah, and there's times and places for it. You know what I mean? Like, out of camp, it's funny because, like, sometimes, like, professional sport players, they come and train with us sometimes, and then one of them told my coach, he's like, oh, he was with me when I was, like, not getting ready for a fight, and then he was there when I was getting ready for a fight. And he told my coach, he's like, holy shit. He's like, now I understand why Max is where he's at, because, like, he don't fucking play around. Like, because when he first came, like, I was talking stories to him, this and that, lifting, hit my weights, do whatever. They're super loud gagging, like, and then he explained that. And then he said, but now he in fight camp, motherfucker come in, you don't talk to nobody, train and leave. Because I don't want to talk to nobody. Right. I got the passport stamped. Yeah. I'm in this fucking crazy ass place. I don't want to deal with nobody. Like, you guys tell me wrong thing, a fight might break out right there. And like, that's a fight that I'm not gonna win because I'm gonna lose legally right down the line. So I'm good, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's what makes a champion, right? Full commitment. Yeah. It's a different level of mental commitment. And appreciation of time is a part of that. And also appreciation of the fact that you got to be willing to push yourself to those dark places. Like, look at Calvin. Like, the moments when you had him against the cage and you are battering him.
Yeah.
That's a dark moment for a guy like that. You know that guy wanted to quit. Did not quit.
Did you not, bro, with the, one of the elbows, he did the freaking, I think he bring back the Dougie for a little bit. And and he somehow came back from it. I was like, bro. And like some of the shots too, I was picking my shots. Like there were shots where I was like, well, soft. Like I was trying to get a finish. But then when I didn't see nothing happening, I wound up with some shots. And like, I was like, ooh, I was like, bro, this guy, he different, you know, like he's an animal. And that's why I tell everybody, like it takes two in there.
It does take two in there. That's a big thing. I mean, it also takes a really scary challenge to rise to the occasion. If you just knew you can go in there, like if you're fighting all 10-year-olds, you know, you don't have to train. You just go in there and fuck them up. But you know that you have a real dangerous killer in front of you in Calvin Kattar.
Yeah.
He's a straight up killer.
Oh yeah, and then especially with the boxing stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. So it was just when I was hearing all that, I was just, you know, I was in crazy land on top of the roller coaster, being like, woohoo!
Crazy land.
Here we go again, you know? So I was loving it.
What was it like when you were in that fifth round, when you were talking shit, when you were like, I'm the best boxer in the UFC?
It was funny because I remember everything. I had him against the cage, and I was punching him. And then I heard Dan Hardy say something about numbers or significant strikes landing. So that first thing I yelled to him is, count it up. I told him, count it up, because like I'm going to keep punching, you know, like, keep counting. And then he caught me with a jab, and that just kept me pissed off. I was like, well, like, Max, you talking shit, and you're letting this guy hit you? Like, what? That's like when I did the flex. I looked at him, and then I punched him. And then they said something, and then I heard DC talk. And I know DC's fucking the wannabe daddest man on the planet. You don't want to fight my ass. DC, I hear his voice. And then I'm like, okay. And then I start talking. And then in the corner of my eye, I start in the fight. I'm looking at them. And in my corner of my eye, I see Calvin start trying to throw punches. So I'm like talking to him the whole time. And then if you see it, I do it underneath the duck. And he didn't hit. He didn't land one punch, you know. If you see it in the video, I look right at him. I go, what? Like the kind of what? Like, what the fuck just happened? Like, what? Like, not what towards him. Like, just like, what the hell is happening? You know, you threw like 10, 5 punches and you missed. I wasn't even looking at you. That's what I was thinking, you know. And then I just had to let him know that I'm the. And then that's when I screamed, I'm the best boxer in the UFC. And then I told him, the freshman came to play. That's what I was telling him. I told him, the freshman came to play. I was telling DC too. And then it was funny, you know. It's just, I was just, man, it's just, you just get in these moments, you know. And all these athletes, they strive for it, you know, especially this stuff where they talk about that one moment, this and that, and everything slowed down. And like, it just slowed down, you know, and it was great. It was like my point down moment, Ricardo Lamas, you know, all over again. Mm-hmm. I got to reunite it with doing this slipping, but it was one of those moments you just felt untouchable, you know. You give your corners a heart attack for a little bit, but it felt good, you know. Like that's the kind of stuff that in the history books forever.
The concern about a fight like that is like, does a guy like Calvin Kattar really recover from a fight like that? Is he ever the same again?
That's the thing, you know. That's the thing that I think about all the time, because you watch boxing. You've been around for boxing forever, especially in boxing. I don't know if MMA you can recall, but I'm sure there's boxing fights where you watch, you know, like a Miguel Cotto versus what is that, the guy's name that cheated?
Margarito. Yeah.
Like, you know, like that fight changed his life.
Yep.
That fight changed his life. He never ever fought the same. Cotto never fought the same. No matter how much I like to tell myself, like, when he was coming back and he did win some fights, it's like, Cotto's back. It's like,
he got battered in that fight.
It didn't look,
you know,
like
what a real good example is? Julio Cesar Chavez versus Meldrick Taylor.
Yeah.
Meldrick Taylor was the fucking man. Olympic gold medalist, some of the fastest hands I've ever seen in my life. And Chavez just broke him down. And then finally, in the last round, stopped him with like 5 seconds to go on the clock. Richard Steele calls off the fight. Meldrick Taylor is never the same again. He got beaten up in that fight so bad. Julio Cesar Chavez just kept ripping to the body, going up top, ripping to the body, trying to catch him, moving. And finally gets him in the corner. Blam! Drops him with the right hand. And you see Meldrick drop. And it's accumulation of strikes. Yeah. It's the blows over the entire course of the fight. Meldrick was never the same again.
Yeah, and then after that, imagine the training he had to do and this and that. So I just... Cater's Boston strong, you know? Like, they different over there. And I just hope that he comes back strong. This guy got kids, you know what I mean? I'm not trying to take away somebody's livelihood or
but it's the reality support, of the game that if one person's going to land the most significant strikes ever, that means the other person's absorbing.
Somebody's taking absorbing the most. That's what we said. So at the end of the day, I just hope they're smart, you know what I mean? I hope, like, if I was in his shoes, their shoes, I know he's 33. I know you know, time is valuable on their time, but I would do something like, you know, like what Ortega did, you know, take care of myself, you know, at least a year off or 2 years and really rebuild myself, get back, rethink certain trainings, you know, and really focus on recovery. Like right now, like, bro, like, the thing I tell everybody is, like, I want to be around for my son, you know, for my grandkids, for my great-great-grandkids, you know, and be around, not just be around and just watching him do stuff. I want to be around and do stuff, and you got to take care of your brain, man. You only get one of them, so if I just hope they'd be smart about it, and I think they will. I think he's going to be super smart about it. I hope so, and they go from there, because if I was myself, I would take maybe a year off. They gave him like a 6-month stuff, but I would take him. I'd go do all the brain studies that you need to do, and I'll check all the boxes, man, and go beyond that. You know, there's a bigger legacy that you have, and that's your Trojan, you know, and you want your child's, and you want to be here for them, and you want to be 100% for them.
Yeah, it's there's a inclination to want to get back in as quick as possible and get a win.
Yeah, you know, especially that's the tough thing, because we fighters.
Yeah.
We freaking gladiators. That's the thing to understand. I get it, but then, you know what I mean? Like, 20 to 27-year-old max, you tell that to, I get it. But, you know, 28, 29 today max is like, nah, you know what I mean? Like, fuck this.
You're
like,
getting smarter.
Let's try and be smart about this. And, like, look at Brian. Like, Brian came out, like, everybody thought he was going to have the hardest fight of his life with a Zombie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Zombie looked like easy work, you know? Yeah. And he did his thing. He took his time, took care of all his injuries.
He really improved a lot after your fight.
I think he learned a lot from that fight. Yeah. I think so, and he applied it, and he did it, you know. So, just look at that, you know. It's just saving yourself, you know. If nobody is gonna save yourself, at least make sure you got you.
Yeah.
Make sure you got yourself.
Yeah, that fight was a crazy fight for Brian, right? Because that was the first time he'd ever been stopped, and he basically had his way, and he was beating guys with strikes, even though really he was a jiu-jitsu guy. Yeah, that was his main forte.
Yeah.
But you were the first guy to stop him. And him coming back from that fight took a long time. He had a bunch of injuries and stuff too.
Yeah, that too. But I think so. It all played into his game. Like, thank God it did. Because look what he did. You know, he had more time to focus on different stuff. But even that, like, if you look at Brian's fights before, like, I think he won like fucking like three rounds before he fought me. Mm-hmm. And he had like fucking what, 6 fights in the UFC or 7 or something or whatever, the 8 fights. 3 rounds in 8 fights. That's fucking crazy, you know? Like, rounds of him actually winning, you know? Like, he's finishing guys with stuff. So that means he's, like, losing rounds, you know? And he goes out there and just smashes Karin Zombie in every round in his own game.
Yep.
Striking. In his own game, too, you know? Yeah. So I was like, man, this guy did some homework.
Yeah, I mean, his jiu-jitsu is off the charts. His jiu-jitsu, Ortega's jiu-jitsu is crazy.
Stupid. Like,
his guillotine is nuts. I remember when he caught Cub Swanson. He caught Cub Swanson, I think he caught him with a darce at the end of the first. And then in the second, he caught him with a guillotine. But that guillotine was nasty.
Yeah.
You know, there's levels. I mean,
there's levels. And that was crazy when what's his name, went right back into it. I was like, bro, did you not remember like the last 5 seconds of the first round, bro? Like,
I just think he couldn't do anything
about it. Yeah.
I mean, they were standing up and he jumped.
Jumped it. Yeah.
Yeah. Some dudes just have that squeeze. They have that crazy squeeze.
I mean, look who's his trainer, you know, the guy, the dude, you know?
Yeah. I mean, he's legit. I mean, lineage from the Gracie Torrance Academy, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's old school, you know? Heron and Henner and all those killers.
All the gangsters.
Yeah.
All the gangsters. Master Pedro, I know. I love whenever Master Pedro comes down to Hawaii, or he just in the same area as us, and we meet up, and bro, some of the stories that they tell is just crazy as shit.
Do you train in the gi at all?
I train in the gi, yeah. I train a lot. I train more gi than no gi. I train more gi than MMA, to be honest.
No shit.
Oh, yeah.
How come?
I just thought I, you know, at a certain level, I feel like I know enough of striking and MMA stuff and certain things that I need to really focus on. This is what I really lack in my game, and I can get super better, you know. Like, I have a foundation, my strong foundation, my kickboxing, but now I got to follow it up. I used to think, so that was jiu-jitsu and wrestling, you know. So I do a bunch of gi. I actually just got my brown belt right before I came.
I'm all
stoked. Congratulations. Yeah. Thank you.
That's awesome.
Super exciting.
Do you think you'll compete?
I don't know. Maybe, you know, my coach said for all his MMA fighters that he don't want none of us competing in jiu-jitsu because that's when, like, freak accidents happen.
Well, look at Cub Swanson.
Yeah, and people get, he hurt his knee, right?
Yeah, he tore his ligament apart when he was, first of all, Jake Shield is so much bigger than him anyway.
Yeah.
Jake is, like, 200 pounds. And Cub is fighting at 145. It's crazy for them. But there was Quintet, you know, when they had the teams
and
they would compete against each other. And he got caught in, an Ashi position where his leg was...
Just tangled.
Yeah, tangled, and his ACL exploded.
I know. I remember he's supposed to come back and fight, you remember? And he got hurt. So. Yeah.
And he's 36, 37.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, it's hard to... You know, get an injury
at that age, because you're done. You're pretty much.
You have a year of recovery, basically. You know.
Yeah. So that's what our coach told us. But we see what happens. Maybe after my career is done, my fighting career done, I do some jiu-jitsu. I'd love to do some jiu-jitsu stuff. I love jiu-jitsu. I love rolling.
Do you have an idea in your mind of when you're going to recover? When you're going to retire, rather?
I mean, if I had my way, it would be like. Maybe high 30s, you know, maybe 35, mid 30s actually, maybe 35, 36, but we see how it goes. You know, if my coaches had their way, they'd probably tell me to retire by like 33 or 34 or something.
Oh, yeah?
They want the best for me. They want the best for my son. So they put everything we ever do or everything I ever think of, they always make sure it's like, you got to think of Rush. You got Rush and you got future little kids. So you think of what you're doing. So we see what happens, though, you know. But if I can find a way, maybe your boy come a professional streamer, professional gamer, baby.
I bet you could do it, man.
Maybe we do that. If I can find a way.
There's money in it.
Yeah. There's a lot of fucking money in
and
it.
And a lot of sponsors, too.
I fucking trip out. I'm like, holy. And then these guys is like, you know, like, I like to be like especially for MMA fighters now, we gotta be like super representative of the family, you know. Like, there's a reason why they put me and Kelvin on the ABC main event and blah blah. Like, we was chosen, we was pretty much handpicked, and like Teddy was kind of running this down. Like, look how you act outside, like this and that. And then you see like these guys that like stream and stuff. The food's on the street, and they don't give a fuck. They're like. They're fucking wild. Yeah. They're fucking in crazy land, too. They're in their own crazy land.
It's a different kind of crazy land.
It's
crazy. It is. To be at the highest level of the highest level.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it's crazy because, like, every fight to today, even before the Kelvin fight, every single fight, if a fighter tell you that they don't get nervous, slap them in the head because they're lying as shit. Or they didn't train hard enough, so they're not nervous. They're like, whatever. I'm just kind of going and doing this shit. But every fight, even the Kelvin fight, I'm always in the back, like, just thinking, like, okay, Holloway, you're on deck. You know what I mean? 10 minutes to you, 10 minutes to walk, whatever, until we come out to walk. And I'm just in there. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I just start talking to myself. I'm like, what the hell are we doing here, Max? Why are you back here? You told yourself you wasn't going to be back here. What are you doing? You know, you start having to talk. I talk to myself. I'm like, bro, you can work at McDonald's. And then I start thinking, I'm like, but then I got to go to, like, fucking Burger University and all that shit to actually get as close as I can to what kind of money I make in UFC. I'm like,
Burger University.
Fuck this. You know there's a Burger University or something, right?
Is there?
Yeah, to become a manager or hired in a manager or something, you got to go to, like, some type of burger. I looked into it because after one of my fights, I was thinking of it. You know what I mean?
Really?
Yeah, you know, just to see what it is, to see what people make. You know, I wasn't going to fucking leave fighting, but it's just crazy. But it's just, but those things is know that I'm alive, that know I'm here, and I know, and it reminds me, motherfucker, you still human, you know, like you still got your nerves, and I would get nervous if I didn't,
right?
Like, if I was before fighting, I was whatever, just running around and nothing affected me, I'd be like, then I would start being in my own mind, be like, what the fuck are you doing, Max? You know, so
You wouldn't feel as good.
I wouldn't feel as good.
You definitely wouldn't feel as good if you won, right? There's part of the relief of getting over the anxiety.
Yeah. There's a fight. There's a lot of little fights before the main fight, you know, and a lot of people, they don't really think of that, you know. We was talking about social media with your boy Sean and John them out there, and I was just tripping. I was just like, bro, I was like, yeah, that's right. And we was talking about, like, why people act certain ways. And it's just, and then we was coming to a conclusion, like Sean says, like, yeah, most of the guys that talk shit is men. It's insecure men. I was like, you're right. You're right. True. Yeah, it's just true. Insecure men of like, because, like, you know, there's a time and age when I used to look at someone else and be like, what the hell? I don't got that thing. You know what right. I mean? This and that. And then I came, and then I met my jiu-jitsu coach now, my head coach, Ron Lazarus, and he really always made me say, like, you know, put yourself in their shoe. Like, I would judge people. I see, like, young kids driving, like, killer cars. Like, yeah, must be nice that your mom can afford that shit, huh, rich kid? And then my coach, like, checked me. He was like, yeah, but you don't know if his mom bought him or his parents bought him. What if he bought that himself? What if he worked super hard? I was like, fuck, you're right. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a fucking jackass. You know what I mean? Like, put your foot in their shoes and then talk on them. You know, a lot of people think they know, but they have no idea, you know?
Well, jealousy is an interesting sort of emotion, because in one way, it can help you. It can, like, you see someone who's accomplished great things and you get jealous and it pushes you.
Yeah.
But another way, it can poison you, because it makes you focus on things the wrong way.
Yeah, you start looking at how far more you got to go versus how far you came, you know?
Right, right. And you also look at someone and go, why them, instead of looking at them and going, how do they do that?
Yeah.
And how can I do that?
Yeah, and that's the main thing I always tell people, especially where I'm from. I tell people, like, why not you? Yeah. Why asking them why them? Why not say why not me?
Right.
Why can't I do this? You know, because you can. You know, but it's just.
You got to stamp your passport, though.
Yeah,
a lot
you
of people
it.
Don't want to stamp the passport.
Stamp your damn passport. Leave your mom at home. Leave your girlfriend at home. Leave whatever it is at home. Stop using that excuses, because I was just telling them, like, I know a bunch of people that, like where I'm from, like, kids is, like, talented. I'm not being biased because I'm from there, but, like, we had talent. Like, they're supposed to go college and do stuff. But then then you hear them say, oh, I never go because I can't leave my mom, or I never go because my girlfriend don't want me to go. And then, you know, fast forward 5, 10 years later, 7 years later, somebody from their time is super successful, and then they're mad at their mom or their girlfriend at the time, and be like, see, we could have had that, but this and that. Like, no, motherfucker, don't be a what-if person. That's a what-if guy. That's a guy who jealousy who you use it in the wrong way, you know? Or they like, oh, if I had those opportunities, I would have did it. Motherfucker, you had the same you had more. You had more opportunity than me. Don't ever tell me that if you had the same opportunity as me, because you had it more. You was kind of, you know, some people did. And I used to think, like, bro, I ain't talented. I ain't whatever. Everything I work for is because I have my passport to crazy land. You know what I mean? And I was able to figure it out.
And there's no denying that people that are as successful as you, there's two things. You took risks and you work hard.
Uh-huh.
And those two things are two things that people don't like to do.
Yeah.
They don't like to take risks, and they don't like to work hard.
Yeah, I know. Even like, even since getting into gaming, you know, ever since gaming was like real crazy because of pandemic and stuff. It was crazy before, but even now that I'm in it, and I see like a lot of gamers, they're like, oh, I see a lot of these gamers that are just starting. They're just starting, and they're like, oh, why am I not blowing up like that? Why am I not? I'm like, trying to ask this motherfucker how long he was fucking in this gaming stuff. You'd be surprised, you know? Like, these guys grinding.
Yeah. Eight hours a day, all day, every day, day after day after day after day. I've seen those guys that are streamers that are really successful, and they're never offline.
Never, ever. And then they have to deal with social media. That's become like, I was just talking to my agent. I was like, man, I would like to do a study on mental health for gamers or streamers, because, like, a lot of streamers in this past, during the COVID and stuff, since I've been so into it, like, a lot of people is, like, committing suicide and stuff or passing away. And I was like, bro, I would love to see what makes it go that way, or why they feel like they can't talk to somebody. And he was kind of trying to pick it. He's like, I don't know, maybe because they're, like, in this virtual world. So they think so that since they're already in the virtual world, they cannot take out the part of the social media part in it. And I was like, oh, I don't know. But I'd like to know, because social media nowadays is just crazy, bro. People, it gives fucking iron balls to people that that has far from them, who has zero balls.
Yeah, well, it allows people to be detached and to say a lot of mean shit, and it really affects young girls. Young girls apparently have it worse than anybody.
Oh, yeah.
There's a giant uptick in suicides and self-harm for young girls that's directly correlated with the invention of the smartphone.
Yeah, because they cannot, the young girls or even people who is affected from it, they just cannot find the difference between that. This is the best part of me, you know? Like, nobody's putting on, I had a fucking shitty ass day. You know what I mean? Like, the top guys, the people who admire, you know? Like, Kylie Jenner or Kim Kardashian is not going to fucking tweet, like, look at this horrible picture of me with no fucking makeup on.
Right.
They're putting up the hottest picture of them for a fucking reason.
Yeah.
For a reason. Because they want your likes. They want this. Yeah. They want that. Yeah. But then the people think this is them all day.
Right.
Yeah, and just because you see them on the show, they all make about, that's not them. It's fake.
Well, not only is that, they use applications and they change the way they
make
look.
Them look.
Yeah, they change everything.
I mean, a lot of people, I mean, how much, fucking, they're catfishing.
Yep.
They're catfishing you, for real. Like, they really catfish. You see these guys in real life, you see some of these people, they look like the ape ate their face. You know what I mean? Like, what are you doing?
It is crazy how people are so addicted to using filters and so addicted to changing the shape of their waist. They suck their waist in with an app and make their tits look bigger. And
it's crazy.
And then people look at it and they go, why don't I look like that? They look in the mirror and that's reality.
Yeah, and that's sad, man. That it is sad. Don't be like that. Go outside. Get into fucking trouble. Like, I always told my son, like, he plays games or whatever, like, you gotta be up to date with what's moving, you know, everything, of course. But I tell him, like, bro, like, sometimes I'm like, bro, just get out of trouble, you know? Like, make someone's parents call me saying that you got into trouble. You know what I mean? Like, go freaking break an arm or something. Go on, like, that's what we did when we was young. I'm sure that's what you did. You was outside with your friends just causing havoc. And getting into trouble, you know.
So you tell your son to go cause havoc?
Oh, but sometimes I'm telling, like, Russ, Russ, get out of here. Go fall off a tree or something. Just go have fun, you know what I mean? Like, go be a kid for a little bit.
Yeah. Does he train?
He trained jiu-jitsu here, very little bit. I don't want him to fight. I mean, you know how fighting is. I know how fighting is. I'm in the mecca of it, you know, and I don't want him to fight. I always tell him that you become a doctor. You take care of dad. You know, dad will take care of this part. And then you take care of us. And you take care of everybody after us. You know, and we see what happens. But he's like I said, my fiance is a professional surfer. And he's been, like, going to surfing so much now. Like, he's so in love with surfing. I'm like, gosh. I'm like, that'd be pretty cool, though, if he becomes a professional surfer. I was like, I dig it.
You're not scared of sharks?
We live in Hawaii. I mean, I'm scared of sharks. Hell yeah, I am. Are you serious? It's fucking water. But I'm not going to be like, Joe Rogan, don't shoot me after breaking an entry in your house. You know what I mean? Like, the ocean is their house. They want to attack your ass. Guess what? They have every single right to bite you because we're in there.
I don't know about that. I'm on team people. They can eat shit. I'll go surfing with a fucking spear gun.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wait, perfect.
That by the move, right? Yeah. Get a spear gun and use it like a balancing, but like, you know, when the dudes walk the tightrope, right? They have those balancing poles.
Knowing you,
maybe that would be a good way to surf.
Maybe you pitch, maybe you pitch the idea because they're stand up surfing, you know, stand up paddle. Yeah. Maybe you pitch the idea to Elon of he put something in the paddle where you twist it, you tumble off. It's like a harpoon. Yes. You can stab someone with it.
I saw a video today of this shark swimming straight at it.
Yeah, with a spear gun.
And the guy shot it in his mouth.
Yeah, I saw it, and he was like looking at his hand. That's crazy. But you see how fast that shark got to him?
Dude.
That's crazy.
That thing
shit
was moving in for a bite.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I wonder what kind of shark that was. But it's aggressive as fuck, whatever it was. And he shot it with its mouth wide open.
Yeah, yeah. And his whole gun went inside.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
That was crazy as shit.
Imagine if that dude didn't have a fucking spear gun. That would have been just chomp, chomp, chomp.
Yeah. This
yep,
video.
That's it. That's here, 4 years old. It's 4 years old? Yeah. Show it to us. Did he bite his hand?
Uh-huh.
Watch it. Go from the beginning where it's swimming towards him. Because it starts...
Look how fast it's going. I just saw it on SportsCenter.
Boom! And he just unloads it. Look how crazy that is. That looks like a video game.
It does look like a video game.
How wild is that? That's 4 years old, Jamie?
Yeah. Uploaded in 2017.
Wow. That is nuts. I would have ate that fucking shark for sure. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, bitch, I'm getting you.
Oh, you dropped a spear?
I'm getting that spear. If I killed that thing, if that thing was trying to kill me and I killed it, I am 100% eating that thing. Hey, I would take all my fucking clothes off and jump in that water and go get that dead shark. Like, that's mine.
No, you got to. You mean, I'm
eating that thing.
Yeah, no, you got to. You attack me.
I'm going to eat his liver. I'm going to eat his eyeballs. I'll eat his fucking brain. If that was
you don't
want to
eat his brain. You don't want to.
I don't give a
fuck. You don't want to be as dumb as a shark.
I'm eating everything he's got. I'm going to eat his dick. I'm going to eat everything. I'll make shark fin soup. Fuck him. Oh, I would 100% eat that thing.
As a soap.
That would be my number one goal. After I realize I survive, I'm like, I am eating this motherfucker. I'm going in there.
I'm here for it. If you're ever in Hawaii and that happens, I'd be like, this is fucking hit my line.
Dude, I spent days after a bunch of coyotes killed my chickens. I spent days camped out on my balcony with a bow. I set up a chicken. I took one of the chickens that they killed where I scared them off the chicken, and I tied it to a pot. It was like a pottery pot, you know?
Yeah.
And I tied it with a rope, and I set it there, and I ranged it. It was 25 yards. And then I sat there with my bow dialed in to 25 yards just waiting for a coyote to come in, and I had all these plans. I was going to kill the coyote, and then I was going to cook his backstraps and eat it, and then I was going to take a shit and then put it in a bag and leave it out there. Like, look, I ate your friend, motherfucker. All these plans.
He's supposed to, like, defur him and stuff and just hang him up and stuff. Like, let him know. Like, you're coming back. You're next.
I was going to eat him. I was going to eat some of them. I was going to eat his loins, his backstraps. I had it all planned out.
Did it have it?
Nah, motherfuckers. I was there for days and days. One time, my daughter at the time was only 6, and I was ready. I was there, and she was downstairs, and as the coyote was sneaking over the fence, like, the coyote's there, she's like, "Coyote! The coyote!" I'm like, ah. I should have told her not to yell. I should have told her.
Damn.
She cock-blocked me.
Yeah, she did.
But I had this whole I was so angry because they killed my chickens.
I mean, that sounds like a...
I had a whole plan.
You're in a fucking crazy land. You stamped it like 5 times, sound like.
I was out there for days. Yeah. Like hours and hours and hours for days in a row, just waiting.
Man, you should have YouTubed that. That would have been fucking great.
I think people probably would be pretty mad at me. They get mad if you kill coyotes, which is crazy, because coyotes will eat your baby, by the way. Those little motherfuckers are monsters.
They're crazy.
They're just small.
Yeah.
They're little small wolves.
Yeah.
I mean, they breed with wolves. They're literally wolves. They're just a small version of the wolf family. And they'll eat your kids. They eat your cats. They ate my daughter's dog. They ate my daughter had a puppy, my oldest daughter. They ate her puppy. They ate 22 of my chickens. Yeah, they don't fuck around, man.
Yeah, I mean, you take from mine. I'm taking your life.
I was going to eat them. I had this whole plan. I was just sitting there for hours at a time thinking, like, what am I going to season them with? How am I going to cook them? Who's going to eat them?
I mean, that's the best. You got to have a plan. What do you do? Kill it, and you got to be like, then you'd be one of those guys that with a dead coyote. Like, what the fuck do I do now?
Well, you know, you could just throw them over the fence or, you know, take them to the woods and drop them off or something like that and let the
rats
eat
them. Fun.
I just wanted to let his friends know. Like, hey, bitches. Your friend. And I'm going to get you, too. Yeah, I really should. The problem is I live in a neighborhood, and you can't have a rifle. A rifle would have been the way to go, because then I could have got him even when my daughter saw him.
Yeah, it would have been easy. Just, bang,
you know, but it's just obviously not a smart move to be firing off a rifle in a fucking residential neighborhood.
Joe Rogan, firing fires, killing coyotes, he's arrested.
Yeah.
It's not a good move.
Well, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have any predators on Hawaii, right?
Not at all. Not really. I mean, unless, you know, that, like I said, people got pets of, like, monkeys and shit. You don't know. You don't know. You really don't know.
Do they have wild pigs on Oahu?
Yeah, we do. We have boars, yeah. We have boars. People hunt. That's what they hunt. And then I think so. That's about it. And then the deer is on Kauai and Maui, I think.
Yeah. And Lanai. And Lanai has a lot of deer. Yeah. It's a beautiful place, man. You know what's interesting about you and your camp there? It's like most champions, most of them, come from big camps. They come from like American Top Team or Rufus Sport or, you know, TriStar. Like these gyms that are like real established and have, you know, many, many, many world champions come there and train.
Yeah.
You came from a gym that really doesn't, it's not a very big gym, doesn't have a lot of people, and you became one of the best fighters in the world from that gym.
I mean, I think, it's not all me, you know, I think it's some my training partners, they put in the time, and then even my coaches, you know, I think every single one of my coaches, I think they they lived in crazy land a little bit too, so they kind of understand, you know. Some of them, only one of them, I think only my strength coach is the only guy that actually fought MMA. Like my main coach, he never fought MMA. He wanted to. He trained, he wrestled, he did jiu-jitsu, he did some striking, but never did. And then my strength and conditioning coach never did. He actually just started training MMA fighters when I started with him, you know. So it was just all growing pains, and we figured it out. I don't know. I just think we all had a little bit of crazy land in us. It all freaking worked, and we got put in positions where it was like, holy shit, we're really here, so let's do it, you know. Like not that much people know, you know, my interim title. And I mean, you know, but the only reason why I got him because DC, we was on a co-main event under DC and Anthony Ronald Johnson. I think DC, that's when DC sneezed and he threw out his back because he's old shit. But
DC, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry he's doing you like this.
I love that, man. I love Everybody loves DC. Yeah, I love DC. But yeah, that's how I got my title fight after nine straight. Mm-hmm. I was on a nine straight fight. Like, that was unheard of, people getting nine fight win streaks and not getting a title shot.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get an interim title shot because of DC, you know. Thank God for DC being old at that time. And we're here, you know what I mean? Like, we just all was like, they all just kind of, and the cool thing, they all kind of just moved to, like, they kind of moved to the beat of my drum, but they kind of knew when to kind of, like, ease me back, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, they pull me back, be like, hey.
Well, that's the thought, is, like, what is the best way to run a camp? Is it have a bunch of killers in a room like the Black Zillions or like American Top Team or a lot of these camps? Or is the best way have one dude that you have a bunch of really intelligent people concentrating on, mm-hmm. and you get individual attention? And that's what you got.
Oh yeah, 100%. You know, like my coaches, like we started doing all kind of stuff. Like when things started falling in place and falling into place, like everything started going to like really focusing on stuff like do this, do that. And then whenever we hit a roadblock with stuff, we always like, oh, what can we add, what can we figure out to get better, to get you better, you know. So I got like doctors, I got like masseuses, I got nutritionists, I got all kind of stuff. Like, it just kept, when you just have that much of in a room of the just smart guys, I mean, what is the saying, right? Like, if you surround yourself around five geniuses, you're going to become the sixth, right? So was this cool to see it all fall into place?
Yeah, it's that's the two schools of thought. The two schools of thought is be around a bunch of killers and you become a killer, or come from a small gym. And there's been other fighters, like Oliveira is another example.
Yeah.
Charles Oliveira, he's not in a big gym. He's not an American Top Team, yeah, or anything like that.
Even Mighty Mouse, right? But his gym is like...
Yeah, but he was with Matt Hume. Matt Hume is a special dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Matt Hume is, first of all, he was a real pioneer of the sport.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That helps.
Fought way back in the day and was a judge in Pride and just has a deep, deep understanding of MMA. And he's a really smart guy. Like, really smart. When you talk to him, like, that guy understands fighting at a level very few people do.
Yeah.
He could develop many more of those kind of world champions if the right athletes came to him and he put the same amount of time into them as he did with Mighty Mouse.
For sure. 100%.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's like, some people think you have to spar hard.
Yeah.
And then you look at what you did and like, well, not, you don't really.
I mean, MMA is such a growing sport at the point of where, is there really a right way to do anything?
No.
Not really, you know, like with NFL and stuff, or NBA or MLB, there's like, this is things that worked. Mm-hmm. And it really didn't have to evolve, you know. And then like somebody special like Steph Curry come in and like doing fast breaks, and then he pulls up on a three. Like, any, like, olden days would have been like, what the fuck are you doing? Take that straight to the hole and then lay it up or dunk it, you know. But he changed that game. But, like, is there anywhere else, like, you could really change in other sports? Not really, you know. Mixed martial arts is the only sport, I think, so that's, it's just constantly evolving. Even, like, you know, even, like, boxing. Boxing is just a fine art, but it's like, what can you do a little bit differently, you know? But mixed martial arts is just, it's always learning, you know. Like, it's just always, you start seeing different athletes come into the sport, into the area, and then they start doing different cool shit, you know. Like, mm-hmm. You see what one guy, that one guy in the UFC fucking backflipping, trying to land on people's stomachs and kicking them, you know?
It's Yeah.
It's crazy as shit. Like, is there any really way to go? No, you know, you just figure it out and whatever works for you, you know? It's just like you, the way your story came up, you know? Is there a way for someone to be a Joe Rogan? Probably not. You just got to go out there and work your ass off and then just hopefully you're lined up in the perfect positions for certain deals and you're there, you know? Like, that's it. Like, you can't tell someone to how become a Joe Rogan or how become an Elon Musk, you know? These fucking geniuses, like, there is no way you can tell someone, oh, this is what you do and you're going to get here, you know? It's just...
I think the thing about MMA, too, is that there's so many different approaches to the actual sport in terms of how you fight.
Exactly.
There's no way you could tell a guy who's a wrestler who like a Khabib, that he has to train exactly the same way as a guy like you.
Yeah. Imagine telling Khabib, like, oh, yeah, you need to start throwing more punches. Right. So I do not need to throw punches. I smash you. You know, like, smash you.
I change your face.
Yeah.
Yeah. Send location.
You eat your face. You know what I mean? Like, come on. But that's it. It's a weird. Yeah. We are in a weird sport where there is no right way.
Right.
There are kickboxing champions. They are wrestling champions. They are jiu-jitsu champions. You know, there's all these champions as well. Like, a lot of people say, oh, yeah, but wrestling had the most and blah, blah, this and that. But most of the wrestlers not even wrestling
right
for the championship. They're using it backwards to strike. Mm-hmm. You know, like, John Jones don't really use his wrestling to wrestle people. He strikes with you, you know?
Yeah, it's true.
It's just, I mean, even with the Khabib, even with the Conor, like, look, like, he uses wrestling a little bit and then he kind of used it backwards where he landed that big shot. And then, you know, because it's a wrestling, but it's just, I don't think there's no right way, man. You just figure out what works for you. If you think so, you're going in a room with killers and you're freaking sparring hard every freaking day, go and do it, bro. Who am I to tell you no, you know?
You used to have a hard time cutting weight, but it doesn't seem like you have a hard time cutting weight anymore.
I mean,
what did you do differently?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say I had a really hard time doing it, but it's always uncomfortable, but it got a little bit easier. I just... Like I said, we got doctors now. We got people who actually like focus on that kind of stuff, and then I got my beautiful fiance that just keeping Balloon Max away from me forever. Like, I eat so much better now out of camp than I did before. Does she eat healthy?
Is that the worst.
Oh, she eats healthy. Yeah, because she's a surfer, and they always got to be on, you know, ready to go. So, I'm like, I was the worst, man. I don't know. Go pull up my Instagram story. There's like a throwback of me, and like, it's unrecognizable, bro. Your boy used to get big in between camps.
What's the biggest you ever got?
Man, I can't say. I'm gonna get harassed by my nutritionist if I tell you. But
tell me the truth. Come on.
I used to get big. I used to
190.
I used to get big.
195.
Big. I never. I really don't know what my weight was because I just knew I was big because I looked like a Oompa Loompa. You know what I mean? That's why I look like, or like Violet from Oompa Loompa. You know, that's how I looked. I wouldn't step on the scale. Scale wasn't my friends. I was like, fuck this. You just look in the mirror and you're just like, something does not look right. But well, let's keep going.
When you were the one time where Al Iaquinta wound up fighting Khabib and you were going to fight Khabib on last minute notice. Yeah. Like, how much notice did they give you for that?
6 days.
6 days.
Yeah.
And what did
on April Fool's.
And it was to try to make 155.
Five, yeah.
What were you walking around at?
I mean, I tell you exactly how far we came you know what it was? You know what happened, that fight? Why it was so crazy? Is that Lockhart then took me on for the fight. Like, they, you know, we called him, we had a talk. And then he did a freaking interview talking about how this is the biggest cut we're ever going to do in a short amount of time, blah, blah, blah. And then the first thing that happens when I land, I'm fucking meeting with a fucking, not even a UFC doctor, a doctor from New York Commission.
Oh, Jesus.
And then they tell me every single fucking day they're going to check up on us. And I was like, holy shit, you know? I was like, what the hell? And I was fine, you know? And I was like kind of little bit bigger than what I usually was. And I was slimming. And this is when we just got the New York thing, you know? Like, we just finally is in New York. New York don't even want us there. Like, they're fucking looking for every single possible way to get rid of fucking MMA over there, you know? Right. And I get there, and then I'm like, bro, 4 pounds away from making the weight. And I'm going to, like, it's tough, but I'm going to get there. Like, I know I'm going to get there, you know? And then they come in and they check, and we have, like, hours left before the weigh-ins to get, you know what I mean? They come in, they check, they looked at me, and they said, you don't look good. You can't do it. That's all that happened. And it walked out.
That's so ridiculous.
I wasn't fighting. That's so like, ridiculous. What do you mean? He's like, you look skinny. I was like, I mean, I'm coming down, losing weight. I'm pretty sure I'm going to not look like how when I first met you on fucking Monday. You know what I mean? Like, what is going on?
That's so stupid. How frustrating was that?
Oh, it was heartbreaking. I had my whole family. I had a couple people that was for the first time was going to be at my fight for the first time, and we just had it all set up, man. And then just to have that was just, and you fighting, it's not even that, you know, the family stuff, they understand it, you know, this is how it goes, but the chance of fighting someone of that at that statue of being, you know, like, and I pride myself on like, you know, fight anybody, anywhere, anytime, any weight class, and forget that to take away against what he was already considered a number one pound for pound guy in the world before he even had the belt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he was like one of the scariest dudes, they said. And I just wanted to fight him. You know what I mean? And it was good. It was super fun. If you go and watch, I think that's the best the best press conference Khabib ever had was against me and him. Like, it was just so fun. Like, I don't know if you guys watched it, but I was like, I got him talking. He's talking back to me, and like, he's showing emotion. I was like, fuck yeah, you know, like, we're gonna fucking do this at the end of the week. You know what I mean? Like, I can't wait. And then,
well, it was obvious he respected you too.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. But he was like chirping, you know, and, like, yeah, he don't chirp. You know what I mean? All he says, I'm gonna smash you. You know, that's all he says. And he was talking back to me. He was like letting me know how it is over there. And I was like, fuck yeah, you know, like, I was just like, yes, like, this is gonna be a fight, you know. And just to get, as this is history, I guess. I guess it was history that got taken away from me. That's why I'm so sad. And now that he's gone, it's like, fuck. I wish.
Not just that, history by some pencil pushers. Some people don't know jack shit, and they're the ones that tell you can't make the weight.
History, bro. Yeah.
I remember hearing that when they said they pulled Max off the weight cut. And I said, who pulled him off the weight cut? And they said, one of the people from the Athletic Commission. I said, based on what? And they said they didn't like the way he looked. And I said, what the fuck are you talking about? This was like when I had first landed in New York, they were telling me this.
Yeah.
And I was like, what are you talking about? I go, who? Yeah. Who? What person?
I mean, it was just tough, you know what I mean? Like, it was just tough, man. I forget.
Everybody looks like shit when they're cutting weight.
That's how they
could have gone through the whole card and canceled card.
I stood, like, even to today, even when I make 45, people was like, oh my God, you look fucking crazy. I'm like, you think I'm cutting weight? You know what I mean? Like, okay, like thank you, Mr. Obvious. You know, like, I'm losing weight.
Bro. How much do you lose when you make 45?
We usually cut around 10, so I'm usually pretty close. Yeah, not that bad at all. It's just hard because I'm skinny. You know, what I mean? Right. I'm a freaking skinny. I'm a Samoan and I have fucking humongous ass bones, I think.
Humongous,
bro. It's fucking irritating, bro.
Isn't it funny that it's harder to cut weight when you're skinny? Like, people don't. That's one of the things that Lockhart explained to me that I was pretty shocked by. That when you have more muscle, that muscle's mostly water. Those guys like Yoel Romero,
so they can
cut
suck
a lot of, yeah, they can cut a lot of weight.
Then, yeah. It's just when I noticed, when I heard that, I was like, that fucking makes no sense, Lockhart. But whatever. You supposedly got this and know what you're doing, you know, so you can't question it. So
he knows what he's doing.
Yeah. So it's like, it's cool, you know.
When you went up to 55, what were you walking around like when you fought Dustin?
I was around like 180 or so. Not too bad. 180, maybe 183 at the most. But it was just, but that fight wasn't really like, to put it in perspective, like, after that fight, I fought 2 months later. And I fought at 45. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I fought him, was on a 2 months notice too. So it wasn't like, was this off? Like, this is an off season guy that I just training. You know, like, going to 55 was just easier.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't really a committed guy. Like, you know, I wasn't really thinking of like, oh yeah, I'm gonna just focus on 55 so I can do and put on some weight and put on some muscle and do this and that. It was just one of those things. It was like, they came up with the offers. I did it, and then, you know, 2 months later, I had to fucking get my ass down to fight Frankie Edgar, you know?
Right.
And that was one of the best cuts ever, so it was cool.
If you had to fight at 55, how much time do you think you would like to give yourself? You would like to gain weight?
I mean,
strength training?
Yeah, I would like to do a little bit of strength training. I mean, it is what it is. If they call me tomorrow to fight 55, I'll fight them. But at the end of the day, if, in a perfect world, if I got to have at least a one, you know, that fight was 2 months, you know what I mean? I'm in training camp already. You're not doing nothing. You're not getting stronger. You're not getting faster in training camp. You're getting ready for the fight, you know? So if we had 3 months, I think it would have been different. You know what I mean? If I had that one extra month to do it, you know, I just think so. If I had that extra time to actually just be in the gym and actually focus on like oh, that's really just put on muscle. Let's really get this fast twitch here or this and that. I think so. Would have been a little bit more funner.
Do you think of fighting at 55 in the future? Do you think you'll wind up doing that?
Oh, for sure. I think so. I end up 55. Maybe I committed 55. Maybe even a committed 170. Who knows? You know,
really?
Maybe 55. We go up there, we see what happens, and then maybe, you know, maybe the thing jumped to 70, the class being the class, you know, so, and maybe there's a great up there, you know, so we'll see what happens, you know. I don't put past anything, you know, but if I have time to, like, really fully commit to certain stuff, I know I can do it, you know. If we Polynesians, you see how us Paulies love to eat, you know. I'm the smallest Samoan you've probably seen in your life. You know what I mean? Like, I'm probably one of the smallest ones ever.
Well, usually they're thick-boned, large...
Large
people.
Human beings.
Yeah, large.
They look
human
like
beings.
Gorillas. Yeah. Yeah.
Big hands.
Yeah, everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just the total. I don't know what I got. I'm just small hands. Not really big and thick, you know.
But you had a really good point last time we talked. You were saying that because you don't have a lot of fast twitch muscle fiber and you don't have a lot of power, you have crazy endurance.
Oh, yeah.
And that you either get one or the other.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Guys like Aldo, who has a lot of power, a lot of speed.
Fast twitch.
But
then,
it wears out.
I know. It's just crazy, bro, how they can, like... It's just amazing, you know. On paper, I was telling Sean them out there, like, on paper, you put down my stats, no one's going to pick me in a fight. What the fuck is this guy? Fucking next, you know what I mean?
Right.
But then there's one thing, there's that mental part and that heart part that you can't measure. You can't measure the mental whatever.
No.
And that's that crazy land part, you know what I mean? Like, people don't know what the fuck crazy land is. So if they see this guy, like, oh, okay, well, he got a passport to crazy land, but this is his stats. All fucking, right. You know, out of 10, like threes. And then this is the guy. He's like nine, all nines, but he, or maybe a couple of tens in there, but he don't have a password to Crazyland. They'd be like, fuck Crazyland, this guy is great.
Right.
And then when you go in there, you find out that, fuck, most of the time, the guys with the password to Crazyland is, they're crazy, you know?
They figure out a way to win.
They figure it out, you know?
Isn't that, like, the sum of all your parts is not, that doesn't equal a championship fighter. Like, the mind is such an important part
of it. I was talking to them outside, back to that conversation. I was telling them, like, whenever I talk to an uppercomer or my friends, or I see people training, and they're training hard or doing this and that, and I'm just like, bro, this is crazy. Like most of us is in the UFC already, right? I was like, guys, there comes a point where, like, you're pretty much good. Like, everything can get you by. You got here already. But now the only thing different that's going to get you to the top 15 is mental. And then from 15 to 10, the only difference between those guys is mental. And then from 10 to 5, same thing. And then from champion and everybody else, it's a mental. It's a mentality thing. It's just something that to do with IQ and something. That's the only thing that changed. Like, we're all good. We're all at the mecca of fighting. The UFC is where everybody wants to be. But what makes you a champ? What makes me a champion? You not. Something got to be it. Like, you can lift more weights than me, though. You know what I mean? Like, if we're the same weight class, you're stronger than me. You're faster than me. What is the difference?
What is the difference?
I believe it's that passport to crazy land. It's that mental. It's that thing, like, I'm willing to do something that I don't know if you even thought of doing it, or if it's presented with you that if you're going to take that chance, you know? And
it's that, but it's also you're willing to put the intensity into your training camps and the focus and dedication into your craft that maybe some people aren't. And maybe sometimes people that are really talented, things come a little too easy for them and they don't want to work as hard.
Exactly. That's the downfall with a lot of these guys, you know. A lot of these guys is like, they're just like all-stars in their town in playing regular sports, you know what I mean? You see it all the time. They're just all-stars in their towns, whatever, and then they go to the other stuff and then they're just another guy.
Yeah.
There's somebody that's faster, stronger, and better than you, you know what I mean? And then when they get there, instead of pushing through, they never had to. And then there's that kid that was like just always just kind of made the team.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's there with you and he sees that and he see you break and that pushes him. And then now he's with those guys who's freak athletes, but they all have the mind. But this guy don't have the freak athletes, but he get the mind. And he's hanging with them because he's figuring out a fucking way to do it, you know?
Yeah, some of the toughest guys are younger brothers of tough guys.
Oh, yes. Oh, because you got to take the shit.
Yeah.
You got to take the shit. You know what I mean? Like, it is like,
and they become durable.
Yeah, it was kind of backwards growing up with my brother. Like, I'm the middle child, but my brother's 4 years older than me. My older brother, my younger brother is 1 year younger than me. But so it's kind of backwards. Like, it wasn't like my older brother wasn't really tough on us, but it was a point where my younger brother was like such a spoiled little prick that he would always get me into trouble from my grandma. Like, he would do, my grandma and grandpa. So, like, he would do something and he'd cry and be like, no, I did it. So I would get the lickings, you know? So I think so. That's what my mentality came by. Like, I was like, motherfucking young. So, like, even when I fight with my younger brother, he would beat me because I was smaller than him. Like, he'd beat me up growing up. And the funny thing is like I told you last time, is that every time, when I started getting to kickboxing, and my mom was telling people like, hey, let's go, we're gonna my son's gonna go watch fight, he's gonna go fight this weekend, you wanna buy tickets? They'd be like, oh cool, who is Clem fighting? And then they'd be like, oh no, Clem's not fighting, Max is. And they'd be like, what the fuck, like, Max don't fight? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what the hell? why is he fighting, you know? But it comes because I got so abused and stuff. I never thought of that. You just pointed out to me, like, my grandma and grandpa would give me, like, this guy would get away with murder, and I always got it. And then whenever he'd do something stupid, like, outside we play with our friends, it's like, there's a place on our street where we couldn't pass. And my grandpa would, like, just be sitting in the gazebo and catch my brother coming back and being like, because he would go in the fucking main road. It's so stupid. There's a dirt road. I was like, bro, take the dirt road. Like, grandpa's always up there drinking his beer. Take this damn dirt road so we don't get into trouble. He's like, no, grandpa's not going to be there. But I know, after all these years I put together, motherfucking went to the road because he wanted to see me get lickings. So after the time, he's like, Max made me do it, go with them. I didn't want to go. And I'd end up getting lickings. It wrapped me up. I was like, bro, I didn't. You told me go. What are you talking about? Like, the tables is turned. You're a little asshole, bro.
What is he like now?
He just, he's crazy. You know, he's, we had to deal with some stuff. Like, you know, my family and stuff would come from drugs and whatever, my mom and stuff, and except for my grandma and grandpa, it's great for them. But he got into his trouble and stuff, but he's recently, like, he's been out, he's been clean, he's been doing his thing. So I'm proud of him, I'm happy of him. So it's like, it's not, I always tell him too, you know, it's not how you start the race, it's how you finish, bro. It's like, finish strong, bro. You got kids, you got focus now. I know you think you fucked up, but you never let nobody down yet. You know, you got time, and just make everything right again, or try to go get as close as you can to making everything right again.
That's great advice, that you still have time. And then
always.
You're alive, just keep moving and do just better keep now.
Yeah, like,
you made your mistakes.
Yeah, a lot of people, they make these mistakes, and then it just lives with them. You know, you just see people burn. Yes. I mean, you you know, I talked to you about it a little bit off of stuff. Text you a little bit about, like, you know, with lines and stuff. And is this people they just hold on to it because they just think so that they can't come back, or they think that, like, they burned someone so bad that there's no coming back from it, or they hurt themselves so bad. But there always is, you know, like, and people gonna forgive, you know, like, I, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not gonna forgive you right away, but if you if you earn it, you're gonna do it. Like, show me that you changed, and show the people you changed. But a lot of them, they're just a lot of people in this world, they just cop out, you know what I mean? They be like, you know what, they're not gonna forgive me anyway. They start like, look, I said sorry. It's like, motherfucker, no, one sorry is not enough. Like, prove to me that you're gonna change and do it and be a greater human being in this world, you know.
It's an important lesson that you can't let your past define you, because if you do, you're stuck. You're stuck with your earliest mistakes, and you see that with some people. Yeah. They fuck up in high school, and then they're that guy forever.
Forever. I mean, you see it not even on the negative side. You see it on the positive side. You see somebody do something great, and then they're on that fucking forever. Like, motherfucker. Like, no, you know. No. Like, it's like it comes too. Like, and that's what the bad people don't see. You know what I mean? Like, the people who fuck up, they don't see that. They don't see that good people do that too. You know what I mean? Like, bro, we're all the same. You're just walking a different path.
Yeah.
And you can get on the right path. You just got to focus. Find it. Fucking help. Yep. Ask for help.
And, like, sometimes people do something really good, and then they're scared to take any chances because they think that they did this one good thing
and they're not going to do it again.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, no, you're going to do it, bro. Like, I mean, I had some troubled times and this and that, and talking to my coach, like, he always told me this great piece of information. He always said, Max, you did it once, you can do it again. If you did something great in one thing, you can probably do it again in another thing. Like, like all the time, like I started from ground zero. You can take everything. You can strip me back down to fucking ground zero. Guess what? I'm going to build myself right back up. You know, everybody keeps saying this and that about my last fights. And, whoa, what about that? What about this? I'm like, bro, like, I ain't scared of hard work. And, like, let the man talk. Let him say it. UFC going to do what they do. But I ain't scared. It took me fucking 9-fight win streak to get an interim title. And I mean, shout out to my man DC being old for that again, like I said. And then other things to happen. Like, I ain't scared of working hard. You right. know, like, don't be scared. And you and people got to understand that you're great. Like, don't let that one thing define you. Like, mm-hmm. you should always be looking, how do I get better? You know, right. like, imagine if you just was like, oh, Jerry, I'm comfortable just talking to MMA fighters. You know what I mean? Then you wouldn't fucking talk to cool fucking people like Elon Musk and shit. You know what I mean? Like, imagine if you put a people... I guess so. Capped himself. Mm-hmm. They put. You know what I mean? Like they put the. What is that? I was gonna
limitations.
Use them. Yeah, they put limitations on themselves. You know what I mean? And it's just crazy to me. You know, it's just why.
But that's what makes you a champion.
Yeah, I mean a lot of people should think like that though. And that's the hard thing. Like it's funny because I'm talking to you and you remind me. Oh, that's why you're you. Like even when I tell my coaches, I tell them about something. I'm like, oh, I see somebody doing something. I'm like, what are they thinking? What are they thinking like that? And then like. Well, most people don't think like you, Max. I'm like, oh, shit.
But what made you start thinking the way you think? Do you know?
I mean, just... I got to shout out to my grandpa. I mean, my grandpa, he never ever... He probably kicked my ass if he saw what I was doing for a living today. Like,
really?
He didn't want us to play any sports. He wanted us to be, like, hardworking men, you know? So he instilled hard work in us, you know? Like, his thing was like, look, you work hard, you do hard, you finish school, maybe you go to college... you go find a really great job, you get your house, you own your house, you get a wife, you get kids, and that's what you do. Like, he just had it all planned out. Like, he didn't like us playing sports growing up. Like, he was all right with baseball, but any contact sports is what I mean. Like, he was totally against football and stuff, like, hitting heads and stuff. He's like, what the fuck are you doing that? It's not gonna help. Like, he's one of the guys, not gonna help you later on, you know? Like he must be
Don't
laughing.
I think
at
he'd
me.
Be proud of you, though.
I know he probably still kick my ass. I didn't say he wouldn't be proud. He'd still kick my ass, though. You know what I mean? He'd be proud of shit, and he'd be proud that he'd kick my ass after that. You know, I never once say he wouldn't be proud, but he'd kick my ass. But you think
that is what instilled this hard work ethic?
Him was him, and then growing up, I remember. I think I told you this the first time we talked was when I told my grandma when I was 9th grade. I was like, Grandma, I'm gonna be a professional baseball player. And she's like, oh, awesome. And I was like, yeah, ain't it great? Like, that was my goal, like, for stuff. And she was like, yeah, but, well, how you gonna pay for college? Because I don't have no money to put you to college. And then I was like, she was like, I forgot, I told her, I don't know. And then she's like, you need a scholarship. So she was like, go get a scholarship, do good. So I started doing good in school. And then I started watching, like, people older than me, like, where I'm from, where I'm from, and, like, the other athletes, and then all the guys who's gifted and good, just kind of being like whatever about it, this and that, or like they get in college offers from people, and they're like, ah, you know, I'm probably not gonna go because of my girlfriend or my mom. And I always thought like, fuck that, you know, that was my mind. I was like, no way, I ain't never letting nobody tell me I can't do. Or I also the negative part, I see people tell them like, or their parents or their uncles and stuff be like, oh. Who you think you think you can go and do that? You know, what's the difference between me and you? Like, look, I was where you was. You know, like, and that kind of negativity. And that always fired me. I always thought, because I wasn't the guy. Like, most of these guys I'm talking about is that stat sheet of 9-9, 9-10s, whatever.
Right.
And they all had it. And I used to be like, fuck, if I could just run faster, if I could just jump higher. And I always tell myself, when I get my opportunity, I'm not going to shake it. You know, I'm going to use it and take it. And that's what it was. Like, I saw even close family members, like one of my cousins, like, I fucking love him. Like, he's the one that pushed me to be great all the time. Like, the reason why I went high school baseball, because he was playing high school baseball. The reason why I was second base, he was second base, you know? Like, I just pushed him. I just was like, he always pushed me to be great, you know what I mean? And then this showed me from a different side, you know? Like, he put his hands in some people. And then they told him the wrong information, then he lost his shot. So I look at that as a different motivation. Like, holy shit. Like, fuck, it's not only working hard and stuff. It's fucking who you talk to and what you do and the right steps you make. Because my cousin, when he did it, then he got the wrong information. He wasn't able to do what he was supposed to do, you know, because of that. And it was just a bunch of shit just growing up from high school time, just watching guys just lose their opportunity. And I was like, I was just heartbroken. I was like, bro, there's no fucking, I was like, there's no way, like, fuck, I want to, like, not only make it out of Waianae, but I want to fucking move back to Waianae, live here, and show guys and be like, bro, if I can do it, if Max Holloway, fucking tree down the line shot, stat Max Holloway out of 10 can make it, you can make it. Why not you? Because if I told you I was the best fighter out of my hood, I would fucking be lying to you. There's fucking great guys. There's great guys that was coming to me coming up. But the difference between me and them was I made a decision that they all thought was fucking crazy. Like, you know, I knew I needed jiu-jitsu. And I told them, I'm going over here for jiu-jitsu. This is what I need. This is what I know is going to keep us in. This is what I know is going to take me to the next level. And a bunch of them said, yeah, you're fucking crazy. And this and that. Like, yeah, right. You're fucking unloyal. You're leaving our team. Wow, where your loyalty is and all this bullshit. 7 years later, UFC champ, this and that. All of them asking, all of them telling me now, oh, I wish I went with you when we went, you know? And I always told myself, like, fuck that. I'm not going to ever be that guy, like, look in the mirror and be like, what if I did this? Or what if I did that? What if, you know? Because I saw uncles. I saw guys, like, fucking state champs of our fucking, for football team, whatever. They worked the fucking job from Monday to Friday. Friday night, they all sitting around drinking beers, talking to each other, being like, oh, you met me in high school? Yeah, so killer. Yeah, Frank, you remember what we did? You know what I mean? I always told myself, fuck that. I don't give a shit what the fuck I did in high school. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I go back to tell kids. I go back to tell kids, like, it's cool. It's cool being Waianae famous. It's cool. It's cool. Actually, uncle, actually, state champ, whatever, auntie, whatever it is. It's cool being Waianae famous. But we can go to Sweden, and I have fans over there. We go to fucking Las Vegas, people know me. I'm fucking rocking on the side of the road in L.A., people stop to take my picture. What the fuck is more cool? Getting your picture, have something to hit you, why not? Or fucking in all the world, you know? Yeah. And that's what I told him, you know? It's just, and then I tell him, why not you? Why not you? And then, because it's just so negativity, you know? We just come from a negative place. It's not even people hitting down why not. It really be your own people. You start hearing stuff and it hurts your feelings, you know? But at the end of the day, I just wanted to show, like, fuck, we can do it, you know? I came from, it's not, the one thing that I told Teddy them is, like, it's not where you train. It's not where you get your education, not where it is. It helps, don't get me wrong, but it's how you do it. It's how you apply yourself in certain situations, how you're gonna go after certain things. And that was the thing that made me want to be great. I just saw so much people let go of their talents and use it, or make other people do mistakes, and then they start blaming people. Yeah. And I always wanted to tell myself, I was like, fuck no, I ain't blaming nobody. If I screw up, I'm going to be able to look in the mirror and screw up. It's just, that's the way I attack my fights, you know? If I go out there, I lose, at least I can look myself in the mirror and say, you gave it all you got, Max. That's all you can do. That guy beat the best Max Holloway was that night. But I want to see that motherfucker try again, because I'm coming back. You know what I mean?
It's interesting how some of the best lessons you learn from other people's mistakes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and ain't that the greatest? You know, yeah. Like, and it's funny because there's a bunch of stuff that I do try to help some people coming up. And I tell them, look, let's do this or try this or try that. And they don't try it. And I'm like, motherfucker, like, I did it. I went, I'm going to what you just went through. Like, I know I'm going through it walk for walk. And I went through it. And I'm telling you, I'm the person that did it. I'm telling you, like, try this. And then they don't do it. And I'm like, oh, man. And then I think back. I'm like, fuck. Maybe you got to let them go through that, because I needed that. Like, when I go back into myself and I think, like, frick, yeah, why are you the savior? Like, let them do that. If they don't want to listen, they don't want to listen. You know, you can take the horse to the rail, but you can't force them to drink. You know what I mean? And if they want to go that hard way, cool. Hey, look, I'm over here. I'm telling you, fucking, this is Mario Kart land. Jump in this fucking pipe. You come up on another one. It's right there, the finish line, bro. Or you can walk past it, and you got to fucking go through everything, and a bunch of mushrooms and turtles attacking your ass. Yeah. You know?
Some people have to learn from their own mistake, and that's the only way, because they see a guy like you, and they want to believe that they're smarter than you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Right? Oh, yeah. That's funny when you say that. Yeah, that's funny, because then they're like, who the fuck are you? You know,
yeah,
that's
they want to believe. Like, yeah. I don't have to listen to him. I can do it this way. I can do it that way. You know, it's interesting too that like when you're saying that your physical skills, if you looked at like your speed or your power, is like a three down the line. What's interesting is that fighting is a unique sport in that you can dominate people with your mind and your work ethic and your technique and your skill. Whereas if you were in track and field,
you need those things.
You need them. Yeah, yeah. You can't be threes. You can't have threes if you want to be a sprinter.
You can't beat somebody with your mind unless you talk the shit out of them. You get in them in the race day.
But even then.
I'm going to eat your feet. If you do. I'm a chimpanzee. I'll bite your finger. Yeah, your fucking dick is mine.
But if you're racing against like Usain Bolt or something like that, man, it don't matter.
It don't
He's
matter.
Just got these gifts.
Yeah.
And he works hard too.
Yeah, but yeah, at that level everybody working hard, yeah. And then when you got the 10-10 stats and you fucking got crazy like Usain Bolt, did you hear his story? Like he made his own freaking what is that? That recovery thing? Like the thing that helps you with your recovery, you lay in that barrel thing, like
barrel.
Yeah,
sensory deprivation tank,
hyperbaric chamber.
He made his own hyperbaric chamber.
I think he built his own. People was telling me about it, and I thought that was crazy shit. But he's like poor and stuff, and he fucking built this can thing that he lined and it helped him. I was like, how the fuck does that
hyperbaric
work?
Chambers are supposed to be amazing for recovery. Have you ever used one?
I used one, yeah.
I loved it,
man. It was like. You just feel refreshed, you know. Yeah. Like it's so expensive, but I think the best recovery thing that I like is like a Normatec or something. You know, when you put it on.
Yes. Yeah, I love those.
It's like, bro, like I like fuck, my legs can be like just hammered, mm-hmm. hammered. You put that on, you feel like
I love those.
You feel like you're ready to go 10 more rounds.
That
you know?
Company Hyperice, they make a lot of great shit. They make these vibrating balls too.
Oh man. Yeah, I had one of those. I had it when it was like the first one when it dropped out.
We have
and now
a whole
it's just crazy.
Rack of them out here.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
The other day, I tweaked my back. I tried to get a quick workout in with kettlebells, and I didn't warm up enough. I just started swinging kettlebells and shit, and I'm like, ooh, what is that? And I came in here and put that thing on. It's like, and I laid it and put it on the ground and rolled it on my back. It's like, but it just popped. I could hear things popping. Like, hear things popping loose.
Yeah, you sure? You sure? It loosened it up. I know. I don't know. I don't know if you did work out, but did you sneeze first? Because that's the main thing.
Is that good?
If you sneeze, you threw your back up
like
DC.
I'm older than DC, man, but I don't hurt my back when I sneeze. But you can. I fucked my neck up once in, this is back when I had hair, reaching for shampoo in the shower. Didn't make any sense. And this is, I was training jiu-jitsu like almost every day.
But that's why.
What the fuck?
But that's why you got hurt, because you're training jiu-jitsu every day.
But I was reaching for shampoo, not getting neck cranked.
Yeah. Who knows? Your body must have think like, oh my god, somebody's shoulder's supposed to be here, and it's just used it to the moment. And it's like,
I don't know what it was, but it's one of those weird things. Like sometimes you just aren't paying attention. You bend over to pick something up, and pop, something goes in your hamstring. Like it's weird.
Yeah, it is weird, man. The human body is so complex.
It's frustrating,
right? It's just crazy.
So, do you do hyperbaric chambers as a part of your regular recovery when you're in camp?
No, I did it a long time ago. We had this rich guy that used to like train it where we used to train, and he just kind of had one at his house, and then he just bring
really?
It.
You can get one at your house?
Yeah, it's like this little metal machine, like metal machine pump thing, and then it's a big tube one. I don't know what brand it is.
When you get in that, like if you want to get out, do you have to have someone get you out?
No, the zipper is two-sided, so you can zip from the inside and outside.
Oh,
so
well, that's
two-sided
good.
Zipper, yeah.
I wouldn't. That's always freaked me out about hyperbaric chambers. Like they have
you're
to lock
in that,
you in.
You're in that thing. You know, yeah, it's weird. I hate it. You know, like I do so much like doctor stuff, like blood tests and scans and whatever. And I just feel like a lab rat. I fucking hate it, bro. You're just lying down on shit all the time, especially the MRIs. Are going ding 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 ding. And like, bro, you hear this shit. And you got earplugs in. I'm like, bro, and you're in there for like 45 minutes. They're like, Mr. Holloway, stop moving. I'm like, fuck. I'm like, I'm falling asleep and twitching. That's why. You know what I mean? Like, what the, like, okay, I'm going to stay up for 45 minutes. It's so irritating lying right here.
So those things are very loud in that thing. I don't know how you can fall asleep in there.
I don't know. It's a gift. Me and my son has this gift. You know, Rush, he fell. So, when he goes to my fight, and it's like late, right? When some of the fights, the pay-per-view cards in the East Coast especially, he falls asleep during the main cards. And then,
really?
Like, right before my fight, he's like, knocked out. He's knocked out right there. And, like, this is like, Like he fell asleep like during when Cowboy fought Cub Swanson fought Doohoo Choi.
Really?
Yeah.
That was a crazy
And everybody's
fight.
Screaming and shit, and he's just asleep. Like sleeping the whole time through it. You know what I mean? Like, fucking kid's a legend.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, but I don't know. We just have my fiance always tells me that, like, you just have a fucking gift that you can sleep wherever you want. And whatever you like, I was like, I don't know. When I got to sleep, I got to sleep. Recovery is important. You just go to sleep.
Also, you train so hard, you're probably always kind of a little tired.
Yeah, I'm just exhausting. And just what you said is like, it's a different exhausted. It's like I explain to people, it's like, bro, I get so mentally tired sometimes after training because like I just so focused, or even like playing video games, like I'm so focused that when I come off and my fiance is like, I don't get none of you. You just come down from upstairs and you fucking go to sleep. I'm like, I'm sorry, babe. I'm like, whatever. He's like, yeah, well, give me that energy that you give, because I'm like, yo, what's up, stream? You know, like, I'm just going crazy, you know? Like, that's like, you suck, you know? Like, whatever, playing, whatever. And as soon as it's done, it's just, I'm just mentally exhausted, you know? Like, I'm just thinking, like, because then you got to think of what you move and where it goes, because it's kind of, there is most parts where it is high pace. It's like, okay, there's a fucking box right here. I got to go right. This guy could go left, right, up, down. I got a jump shot, drop shot. You know, it's just stupid stuff.
And you use consoles only?
I use PC. I play PC.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you use mouse and a keyboard.
I don't think I'm that much. You got to go a little bit more into crazy land. Really? my brain doesn't work like that. I'm all controller.
But controllers aren't as accurate.
I mean, I don't. That's what people say, but I feel fine. So,
do you think? Are the best players PC guys with a mouse and
keyboard?
There's
some guys that play PC and some guys that play controller. That's just like neck and neck. So,
Jamie, what do you think?
That's what I mean. The guy you're talking about earlier, Nick Merckx, he plays with a controller. Good luck.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, Z Laner, bro. Try and search up this guy named Z Laner.
Is he the best guy?
He's really good. They're really good. There are people that are really good. There's videos of little kids playing Fortnite on an iPad. They don't have a controller. They're using like the mobile version, but they're playing against everyone on keyboard and fucking them up.
What?
Yeah. They're swiping on the screen.
Those goddamn kids, though.
It's fucking next level.
Kids are next level.
They're crazy as shit.
They can do things.
They adapt.
Yeah. They adapt crazy so quick. Shit. They don't have any information in their head. They don't have mortgages. They never got laid. They don't know shit.
I ain't thinking of nothing, yeah.
Yeah. But I would always imagine that, like, you can't be as accurate with your thumbs as you can moving a mouse. Because that's how it is in Quake.
I mean, you get somewhat aim assist, right?
Do you have that extra controller, Max? Do you have the with the extra buttons on?
I use a C40 Astro, and we get panels behind to jump, and then I use one side to sprint.
So that's the only... I've never ever used those. You probably haven't either. They have extra buttons that like your extra fingers that aren't being used can do stuff.
Oh, so instead of going like all that stuff, like I'm just my fingers is always my thumbs is always on top of my joysticks no matter what.
And it's all automatic in your head now.
The craziest thing, did you ever see like one of my friends play? It's called Claw. They hold the fucking controller like this, bro. It's so weird. Like after a couple of times, I tease him like, rah! His name is Bird too, so it's funny.
How does he hold it?
He hold the controller like this, and then like they play the button. They play like claw right there. You see? It's so weird.
Why would you do that?
So you never have to move your thumb.
You don't have to move your thumb at all.
It takes like you lose milliseconds when you move that thumb off of there to hit another button, and that's like if you moved your hand off your mouse. Like, why would you ever do that?
Yeah.
You wouldn't.
So. You're moving left, right, and all that shit with which side?
With the left thumb, and then the right thumb you're aiming, and then all
so
the
you're
other
touching
buttons
with
is
like
reload
the side of your fingers.
Bro, I don't know. You're talking to fuck that. I just buy a controller with extra buttons.
Oh, okay. So these are for people who don't use the extra buttons.
Yeah, or some people they buy the extra button, they still play like that. It's weird.
Maybe just get used to it. People get accustomed to all kinds of weird things. You know, you get accustomed to doing things wrong. I remember when I was teaching martial arts, one of the hardest things was teaching a guy who learned how to kick the wrong way. Like, I could take someone who didn't know how to kick at all, and I could teach them so much easier.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you took someone who came from some janky school that didn't really know what they were doing, and they developed some weird way of kicking, and I'd be like, oh, man. Like, this is harder than teaching someone who doesn't know anything.
It's mechanics. It's when... I mean,
they're getting ingrained.
You see different people from different schools, jiu-jitsu schools. Like, they're doing the armbar and shit, and they're, like, going from step one to step six. They're like, are you fucking crazy? Like, you're insane. You're Captain Insano right now. I don't know. Whatever crazy land you're in, you're in the wrong one, bro. Come on back.
Well, that's why it's so important to learn technique correctly. You got to learn it correctly the first time. You see it with punches. You see it with kicks. You see it with everything. Jiu-jitsu, everything. It's like you have to learn it right.
Yeah, and that's why I like, yeah.
It's you can get creative afterwards.
Yeah, it's always hard training someone or teaching someone something that they've already been taught before. So you're trying to teach them the right way. So it's always hard. But if you just get a blank paper and you tell them to do this, they're going to do it, you know?
Yeah, the thing is, like, under pressure. When someone learns something the wrong way and then under pressure, like sparring, when they're tired or something like that, that's when the bad technique comes out.
But even that, yeah, it's the same thing as when you take that person and you finally get them trained the right way and then the pressure comes in, and then they just remember they did 1,000 reps in the wrong way. 1,000 reps get caught up, you know
Especially
what I mean?
Guys that keep their head up in the air.
Yeah.
And their chin up in the air when they panic.
Yeah.
Because they just got so used to training like this. And then you get them used to this. And then when shit starts
When they start
flying,
slugging, they're like, you know, it's like, no, bro, don't do that.
Do you think you'll ever be a trainer?
I don't know. You know, I always tell my coaches or even everybody else that, like, when I'm done fighting, I want to be away from the game. I don't want to have to do nothing about it. Maybe sit down cage side with you sometimes at some time.
That would be fun.
Talk the shit with you and just do it, you know.
If
but
we ever do a show in Hawaii and you're not on the card, you got to do commentary.
Oh, yeah. 100%. I'm a fucking, 100%. Yeah, we have stuff. So we see what happens. But I don't know. Every time I do coach and everybody's like, oh, you're such a good, blah, blah, this and, or they tell me, oh, you're pretty good, this and that. And I'm like, fuck, but I just don't want to be around it, you know? Like,
because it's so overwhelming.
Yeah, I'm just at that level where it's like, frick, I don't want to be a part of the game, you know. It's like, you know, like Kobe, you know, like when he wanted to get off, he had certain things lined up already, you know, to get away from the game of basketball, and then his daughter put it back in. But that's how I want to be, you know. If Rush want to do it, maybe, you know, maybe. But even that, I don't even want to be his coach because
so close.
You're so close, you know. It's too much on the line. So we see, you know, we see. I never say never. You know, I'm a big Justin Bieber fan. So who knows.
Do you, other than video games, do you have anything that you could see yourself doing when you retire?
I don't know. Maybe like I like talking stuff. Maybe call you up and harass you to see how podcasts go, you know what I mean? Maybe
not,
that kind
man?
Of stuff, talk story with people. But I'm not as smart as you. Like, I'm just sitting out there, Joe, and you're like telling me stories about how the human brain came because they're eating fucking people's eating mushrooms all out of cow manure and blah blah blah. I'm like, the fuck takes their time to watch this? I'm like, what is this? And then I watch the podcast, and you're just saying shit, Joe. I'm like, fuck, this is.
But it's the same thing as training. It's like, if you went back to me in 2009 when I first started doing the podcast, I was an idiot. I learned how to do this better. I just learned things. I've been doing this 11 years. So it's like 11 years of having conversations with very smart people and then reading a lot of shit and watching a lot of documentaries, and I retain information. That's all it is.
Yeah, see, that's crazy that you said that, because then a lot of people is like, I was talking to Shab before I came. I talked to Shab a little bit. And a lot of people, they see your deal that you signed with Spotify, and they're like, what the fuck? Like, why the hell I can't have that? And then it's like dummies. Like, I put 11 years of work out there. This is what they're buying, the 11 years of work, you stupid asses. You know, like, people don't get it.
It's also one thing that I always tell these comics, and most of them don't listen. I'm like, do more. Do more shows.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to do one a week. Why are you doing one a week when you could do four a week?
Yeah.
Do four or five. Don't burn out.
Yeah.
But just keep doing it. Like, the more you do it, the better you get at it. It's just like jiu-jitsu or anything else.
Or anything you do. Like, I told people, like, it sucks now for Hawaii because since they sanctioned fights down there, like, when I was coming up as a kickboxer, it had no, what is that called? What the frick is that?
Athletic commission.
So it had none. So people could just put fights it had like four fights a week.
Really?
You know what I mean? Like, I remember one kickboxing fight, I fought Friday and I fought Saturday.
Wow.
I weighed in on Friday, the same day as one of my fights. But that's when you walked around the way you fought. You know, I just kickboxing. And I did this, like, not that much people know. I had, like, freaking, like, maybe, like, I don't know, like, 80 to 100 fights before even, like, turning professional.
Really?
You know what I mean? Like, I had 10 MMA amateur fights, I think, or whatever. Maybe a little bit more. But my kickboxing fights to, like, just even, like, exhibition fights that you just fight because I just want... Like, you know, for me, for my reason, I knew I wanted to fight, but I didn't have money, so I wanted to get in the fights for free and watch the fights and hang out with my friends, you know. But I just I tell you, like, his knowledge is everything. Like I fought hurt. I kicked someone and my toes started hurting and I had to figure out a way. I punched someone and I stopped throwing that punch, which made me lose the fight. And then later on, you come to this mental agreement. You're like, bro, if this happens again, you gotta freaking keep fighting, you know. Versus like a lot of these guys, they have no amateur. They just think so they can come pro, and then when they run into this big problem, it affects them a lot because they didn't know how to deal with it at first, you know. So yeah, it just goes to the take of that. Like, why not do more? You know what I mean? Sometimes less is more when you get a little bit closer to where you want to be. But in the beginning, man, especially amateurs, I tell guys, like, bro,
experience.
Who the hell cares that your amateur record is you know, like, 9-6? No one cares, because once you turn pro, it's 0-0, you know? Like, if you're over here, like, 0-100, I'd be like, oh, brada, you know what I mean? Let's have a talk. I mean, like, come on, you know? Like, yeah. But come on, it comes a different way. You know, you lose some decisions and stuff, but...
You're learning.
But you're learning. It's all learning. So when you get to the big show, it all counts now, you know? Like, I see people like, I just want to be pro. I want to make money. I'm like, it's not the way.
It's with everything, man. It's with everything. I used to see in jiu-jitsu, like, I would train, you know, especially when I was real busy. I'd train, like, once or twice a week, and then there would be guys in the gym that were training 5 days a week. And, man, I'd see them get so much better than me. I was like, yep, that's just what it is. It's just what it is.
You just see, and that's the most beautiful thing, you know, especially about jiu-jitsu. Like, the thing that I love about jiu-jitsu is that you just see normal guys, whatever, and they're just getting great at something.
Yep.
And then most of these motherfuckers just look like, they just look like, you know, like, I love them. They're my friends, but they look like weirdos. You know what I mean? Like, they just look like weirdos. Yeah. Like the type of weirdos that you see at the club and be like, yeah, I'm going to punk this guy in front of my girl to make me look cool. And you punk the wrong one because he just got choked out. And your girl got stolen, so it's funny.
Legitimately. Not a wise move. A lot of these fucking nerds... Or straight up killers. Did you see that video of these two football players picking on these guys?
I did.
And you see this guy, he's got a bloody nose. Like, I don't know what happened before.
I think he got fauced. I think so. The reason why he did something, I think so that guy hit him first.
Yeah.
And I was like, bro, this is self defense. You know what 100%. I mean?
100%. See, he's got a bloody nose, and you see the other guy pushes him, and he's like, okay, time to show you.
And that guy is like he was like the man. I think so. He was like the football player at college or something there. Like, he was the man around town. So
whoops.
You know what I mean? Like, you try to go over there trying to be like the man, that doesn't help. And then you got a viral video of you. Like, I don't even know if you're starting.
Looks like Ben Askren, but it definitely. But
look,
wasn't.
His nose is already bleeding. Yeah, right. So something already happened. And him and that other guy. Play this because I love this video. Can you not play it in the background?
I didn't have it ready to go.
Oh, can you press that button? It's fake. Okay. So, Oklahoma player, bar fight. So, these fucking guys are obviously, the smaller guy is not trying to start a fight. And you see his friends like, come on, bitch. And he pushes him.
Yeah, you better listen to your friends.
So, he's talking to the other guy. They're like, okay, you take the big guy. And you see him push him, and he touches the blood on his nose and just punches that guy, ducks under. Look at this takedown. Beautiful. Yeah, boom. And the other guy's got the other friend. And he doesn't know what the fuck to do. He's got him wrapped up. Look at this dude. Takes his back with cowboy boots on, son. He's got cowboy boots on, taking this dude's back. Gets the hooks in.
Watch this one. Watch this one. He gets slammed. Yeah. The guy to the right side of the up. Watch. He hit his head and everything.
Yeah, the big guy.
Yeah.
Well, this is his friend who took the second guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you're dead.
Yeah, here it comes.
You're dead. Keep punching until you knock out.
Well, look, he grabs his collar. He's choking him out with his own sleeve.
Oh, yeah, he collar choked him.
Boom!
You're dead.
Yeah, he gets slammed into the wall, and he gets... pounded. And then, now people are, like, but the cowboy boots are the finishing touch. It's hilarious.
That is so sick.
But these two assholes that started this whole shit, you could clearly see they're fucking with these dudes.
Yeah, you clearly
see it. I videos like that make me feel good. I like it.
I mean,
I don't like when people get beat up, but I do like when people get beat up when they deserve it.
When you're acting, like, I could see if he was pushing them.
Exactly.
And then being the punk, but.
Exactly.
It's funny because, like, I would say at least 95% of people who know how to protect themselves in that situation is doing the right thing and trying to go, you know? Like, these videos go viral because somebody is overzealous. Uh-huh. They think so they're somebody in life. They think they can take you.
Exactly.
And then they find out the wrong way, and then now you're in the wrong because you're giving him what the hell he wanted. You know
what
I mean?
That's going to stay with him forever. Millions and millions and millions of views.
Oh, yeah. He's not getting drafted.
Him being an asshole and a smaller guy with cowboy boots on fucking him up. And that you got to live with that.
That's amazing.
He deserved it. That's one of those things. He deserved it. He's probably fine. You know, probably got some bruises on his face and his ego's more fucked up than anything. And maybe he'll learn some jiu-jitsu now.
Yeah.
But leave people alone, man.
Leave them alone.
Yeah.
And then maybe you come more humble because now you can just let them go. Like, the people who don't... Bro, the loudest guy in the room is the one that you don't have to be worried for. You hear somebody yapping and you can fight, you look for that guy because you know he ain't doing nothing. He ain't doing nothing. His weapon is already being used. It's his words.
Yeah. When you go back and you live in Waianae still, right?
Yes, sir.
Is it weird walking around in your neighborhood? I mean, do you get swarmed?
Like, not really. Like? I mean, everybody see me. Like, I'm there all the time. So it's fine. You know what I mean? Like,
so it's normal.
It's really fine. You know, it's like if LeBron go back to Akron, I heard that people don't really care. People don't lose their minds. Yeah. People say like he can just sit down at any restaurant or that and he's fine over there. And that's his hometown because that's when they watch him play basketball from when he's a young kid. You know, so.
But I would imagine like you just can't get any time to yourself. Like people are knocking on your door. Hey, Max.
I mean,
how did you do it?
Yeah.
Hey, Max, tell me what to do.
I mean, it's all right. It's I at the beach sometimes. You know, when I'm with my son, like we get kind of overwhelmed. But it's not really the locals. You know, it's most of the time that people is who's coming in and they see us out. But yeah, because I'm always on our side of the island. You know what I mean? Like. I stay low key, but I like low key doing stuff with my family. But I'm not freaking.
Do people knock on your door?
No. Only people who know where I live, and then some people they kind of trying to guess, but they kind of respect it. So it's super cool.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, it's
that's
super good. Cool. People are super nice. Yeah, it's super cool.
Because you gotta be like a hero to the neighborhood.
It's fun. It's always cool seeing the kids. Like as soon as they know my car I drive, so I'm driving through.
What kind of car you drive?
I have a Tesla. And it doesn't help that I fucking wrapped it the most loudest color in the world.
What color?
It's this red. It's like a matte. It's terrible. I know.
I like it.
It's like a matte chrome though. Ooh. So like when the sun hits it, it's like a chrome delete. So then whenever the kids and you just see them all fucking shocking on their stuff and fucking trying to do papa wheelies next to me, I'm like, okay, don't fall in the middle of the road so I don't bang you. But yeah, it's just awesome seeing. You know, hopefully one of the kids that I see playing or whatever, they freaking be something great, you know? And I get to be a part of that because they said, like, oh, I saw you doing this and that. You know, I'll be the fucking greatest feeling in the world.
Well, it's got to be to them a real inspiration because one of the things you were talking about where people, you grow up in a toxic environment where everybody's always complaining and no one ever does anything and they get jealous of other people. If they see a guy who's positive, who makes it.
Change the culture.
You change the culture.
And that's what we try to do, you know, like. It's just funny, you know. I had these talks. People tell me, oh, when you move out of Waianae, blah, blah, this and that. And I'm like, frick, man. I think of it like maybe I should for training because I got to drive like 45 minutes or something to training to the gym, you know, traffic maybe an hour. But it's like, man, like, I'm like, do I really want to do that? Like, I just love, like, this fucking city is just a part of me. Like, I just love being here, you know. Like, there's this drive, like, there's this hill that you come over when you start coming to Waianae, to Nanakuli. Like, you can see the sunset and stuff, and I see it all the time. I'm like, bro, I can't give this up. Like, this is what I want. And I just always wanted to be the person, like, I remember people telling me, like, you're not gonna ever, if you, like, be great in fighting, you need to move. You know, like, this is, look, all BJ moved. He trained in Cali or this and that. Like, yeah, he's back home, but he moved first. And I always wanted to tell everybody, like, fuck that. I don't have to move anywhere. I'm gonna be great from here. And then same thing where I'm from, like, why move out, you know? Why, like, if it was super dangerous, don't get me wrong, you know, it's not crazy dangerous, but if it's super dangerous, why? Yeah, I would think of it, but why not? You know, it's not that crazy, and it can be crazy, but then, you know, I've been there my whole life. Everybody know who I am, and just being there and sitting in there is like, it's that kid. It's like, the kid's like, oh, look, he still lives here, so I can fucking maybe live here and do it from here, you know?
And really change the culture.
And really change it, and that's what you do, you know? You surround yourself with whatever you want to be, you know? Like, if you, I was telling Sean them, if you got five genius friends, you know, the next, if you're hanging out with them all the time, then, you know, you're probably going to become the next genius. You know, if all your friend them got business owners, is their own business owners, guess what? You're probably going to be the sixth business owner of your group, you know? That's just what happens. You are who you surround yourself with.
That's got to be true. I mean, you must have a positive impact on those kids. I mean, it's especially when they hear something like this, where you're talking about your work ethic, you're talking about how you value time, you value your trainer's time, you value your own time. Those are massive lessons for a young kid, because sometimes when you're a kid, all you hear is dumb lessons.
You see
a bunch of dumb people.
And the thing is, and it's funny, because then I was able to. It's been super hard lately to get to the intermediate and talk. But on career day, I used to do career day a bunch. And when I would go there, I would go to my classroom with the same teacher, with the same table layout. And I used to tell them, I used to sit right there.
Wow.
And I would tell them, I used to sit right there when I was in class. But guess where I was? I was fucking with my counselor, fucking doing stupid shit. And I was like, I'm like, what? You was a bad kid. I was like, Mr. Smotis is his name. I was like, ask Mr. Smotis. I was the most terrible kid ever.
What does he say?
He's like, yes, he was. I was just hanging out with, they're still my friends today, but we all could sit down in a group and just agree that we were jackasses.
Yeah.
We were just fucking, we had three of us. We was the three musketeers of doing dumb, stupid stuff all the time. And when I was in class, that was my chair, I'll tell them, but I was always with the counselor. I told him, look, one thing that you guys can see is back to, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. You know what I mean? When I came to ninth grade, I know I needed grades, I needed that, I really turned it around, you know what I mean? That's when I was in eighth grade, and I was, bro, we was crazy. I was like, I was just stupid. Seventh grade, I only passed seventh grade because somehow the teacher feels so touched for me because I was a dummy, but he knew I was a good kid. He'd come on weekends and help me with my reading and stuff.
Really?
For pass, yeah. His name was Mr. O'Connor. Was math and reading and all that stuff. He'd help me with anything I needed, to be honest.
Well, shout out to him.
Yeah, he was the man. Like,
sometimes a good teacher like that changed your life.
I had fucking great teachers. I had him. I had my freaking... my ninth grade teacher, Mr. Corey, he's still a family friend and stuff of us, but like they used to just shake me up, like. And then I had a Des Moines teacher, Mr. Gray. He helped me. Like I sucked at math. I sucked in school. Like I graduated cum laude. That's like 3.4 or something. You need a 3.5 to all year, or 3.2 I think, from ninth grade to senior. I graduated cum laude. And the only reason is because of these teachers. Like, Mr. Gray in ninth grade, like, we had two recesses. We had a 15-minute recess, and then we had a 30-minute lunch or something like that. And he would let me come in his class, and he'd help me with my work all the time. You know what I mean? Because he just knew I fucking... My thing was, like, I was playing baseball at the time. I was like, my thing was, like, I just finish all my work, finish my homework of what I can now, so I can go out to the baseball field and just think about baseball shit and just get good in baseball shit, you know? And then when I go home and stuff, I just eat dinner, I go sleep. Instead of fucking, everybody's like, I'm doing stuff. It's like, oh, I have this project due tomorrow. Holy shit. I was like, did you start? No. It's like, what the hell? We practice started at 4. We end at like 6 or 7. And then you got to go sleep by like 9 o'clock or 10. You know what I mean? For actually good sleep to wake up the next day, you know? But these guys staying up late and stuff. I was like, bro, I got that covered already. I'm good, you know?
Time. And
I was just trying to just... You know, like, and it's kind of irritating. It can help with my personal life sometimes. Like, I'm about, like, saving time and stuff. So I'm like, okay, babe. I'm like, okay, I'll drop you off here. Can you run in there when I'm going to drive a little bit down the road and grab this stuff? And then she's like, no. She's like, this is too crazy. This is just fucking time shit. It's crazy right now. It's like, let's all just go as a family and do it. I'm like, why? This is faster. We can get here faster. You know, it's it can be great, but it also can be a fucking pain in the ass at times, you know?
Yeah, but look what it's done for you, though. Whatever pain in the ass it is, look what it's done for you. It's undeniable. That respect for time is probably out of all the positive shit that you said today, that's one of the most important lessons, the respect for time. Hard work, but respect for time. And part of respect for time is work hard during that time.
Yeah, and so you do, you know, like... I mean, who would want to fucking be like, okay, I'm going to take a private with you, and you see this guy just being a jackass, you know what I mean? Like, fuck, it's like, bro, like, what are you doing? You know what I mean? So, yeah, it's just, time is super important, man. Like, I'm super big on this. You cannot give nobody back time. That's crazy, right?
It's true.
But you can take the shitload of time up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, you can waste it.
You can waste it, but you cannot. Yeah, never, ever. Never ever, unless Elon, you know, unless you talk to Elon off mic and his alien ass knows something, you know what I mean?
I don't think so. Well, listen, brother, it's always a pleasure sit down and talk to you. I really appreciate you coming down here, man. And again, your last fight inspired the shit out of me, man. It really did. I carried that fight around with me for a few days. Really did. Just thinking about I love when people just achieve a new level. I love watching something like that. It's one of the things about the sport is what's so fascinating is watching people develop and grow and figure things out and just seeing the fruits of their labor and the fruits of their hard work. And your last fight in particular, man, was spectacular.
Thank you. That's awesome. It means a lot coming from someone like you, my man. So thank you for inviting me. I know we had we had some hiccups.
Well, we had a little froze.
But we're here, so thank you so much.
My pleasure, brother. Thank you very much.
Thank you, brother.
Goodbye, everybody.